This episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box was brought to us by our brilliant Patreon supporters, Doyle, Derek, Ryan, and Steve. Thank you for helping us harness the power of the night.
The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Juan's basement, where we're feeling the power of the night. This is Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, and Gabe. Special guest, John Still's Old Show Radio Hour Extravaganza.
Bummer. I don't even like that guy.
We're recording now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 73 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
It is daylight savings time, yes. So it is 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning.
No, it's actually 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Is it really? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I woke up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. I hate daylight savings time. It's like the stupidest thing we do.
I got an extra hour of sleep. I'm good.
Well, I mean, the extra hour of sleep is great, but then, like, in 6 months, you get the, like, not extra hour of sleep, and it's like, oh, fuck my life.
Fuck daylight savings time.
So, in general, screw it. We should not do it anymore because it's stupid because, you know what, we don't have to conserve oil for oil lamps.
It saves us from spinning into the ether, Gabe.
It does not. Literally nowhere else in the world does that. You know that, right? It's just like regular everything else. It's like, oh, hey.
It's like regular savings time.
Fuck you, no metric system. Fuck you, no universal health care. Fuck you, no good things. Oh, you're not plugged in. Oh, man, who are we going to talk to today?
Well, I think you gave it away in the entrance.
I know. Well, I know, but...
You buried the lead.
He hung up on you. And then immediately called back. Definitely can't hear him. I bet he can hear us, though.
Oh, well.
Is your computer turned up? Well, duh, that was a stupid question because we can hear
it. It was so loud.
You need to turn it up on here.
It is up loud here.
Are you sure? Because it's making absolutely no noise.
Hey, John Still, are you there?
Well, you couldn't hear it ringing through the headphones.
I'd be trying to see if he was... Oh,
sweet, another day of technical difficulties.
Hold on. John, are you there? John.
You're going to, like, turn something, and all of a sudden you're going to hear him all, like, in his southern accent, talking about what dickheads we are.
Hold on, we're having problems. John Still, Radio Hour time.
Show extravaganza for children.
Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, there he is.
There it is.
I had the wrong one plugged in. Are you there still?
I'm here.
There's that sweet, sweet southern voice.
That's right. And you guys are dickheads.
Yeah, I knew it. How are you today, John?
Great, brother. How you doing, man?
Oh, you know, I was just bitching about daylight savings time, so there's that.
Yeah, I was bitching about some southerner waking me up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. See, I got it all twisted in my head. I was a little bit drunk last night. DJ'd I DJ'd a bridezilla wedding, and the only way to deal with those is to get really trashed, get them really trashed, and let the bridezilla just get really trashed. That way, she just, you know, is so drunk she can't even, you know, be bridezilla anymore.
Do you even bride you?
Shut up, Juan. Oh, man. So what specifically entails a bridezilla? Was she just, like, screaming at everyone about everything, or?
I've had that happen. I've actually had a bride stand in the middle of the dance floor and yell at me. Like, everybody was dancing. But it wasn't the music she wanted. So she cleared her own dance floor, killed her own party, and stood in the middle of the dance floor screaming at me. But that was not last night. Last night, the bride, just like everything we discussed ahead of time, she decided to just ixnay and like change last minute, and she didn't want to do this anymore, and she didn't want to do that anymore, and you know, just crap and more crap. And you know, it was I mean, the wedding coordinator is an old friend of mine, and we're just looking at each other, shaking our heads. It was horrible.
So I feel like anybody yelling at you might be my best friend.
She's just like, new kids on the block for the rest of the night.
That would be an awesome gig.
You just like, all right, let me was pull my Spotify
was
up.
Was that an it? Easter egg you just threw in there?
Not intentionally, no, but yeah.
I think we know what Gabe's old man pick is now.
Yeah. Hanging tough, baby.
Gabe's old man prick?
Dude, yeah, so that too, but those hang low. speaking of which, after reviewing Critters, I think I'll be singing Power of the Night for the rest of the month.
I just sang that in the intro.
Oh, Power of the Night.
I love that that's going to be the overarching theme of this episode, is us randomly singing Power of the Night at different points.
Yeah, you can't get away from it in the movie. They just keep playing it over and over and over again because it's like the only song they had the budget for.
And that'll be the intro of the show.
Dude, only
so we could talk about it and critique it, because then it's not illegal.
Right.
Then I don't owe them any rights. So,
well, right. I don't think anyone would come after you, because we're probably the only people that watched this movie in the last like 6 years.
We don't own the rights to that song, so go buy it on iTunes or whatever.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, if that's your thing.
It's not a real song or a real band, so I really don't think we have anything to worry about.
Don't say that. I love it. I know, right? Oh, man. So you mentioned it. So let's kind of start with our random bullshit segment of the show. This Monday, you and me, Patreon supporter Doyle, Patreon supporter Steve, I think is who you said that was.
Brand new. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
You have the best dick, Steve.
Yes. The longest, most hardest.
And then, our friend Jared, we all went to go see it. And, okay, so here's the thing. Like, I had to get up super, super early in the morning to go to work. I went to work at like, or got up at like 4:45 to go to work. And then the only showing of it that all of us could get to was the 10 o'clock showing. And that movie's fucking, with trailers, close to 3 hours long.
Yeah, it was fucking long.
So the movie itself is good enough and engaging enough that I wasn't tired at any point through the movie. Like, it kept my attention really well. But it's good, but it definitely has problems.
Have you seen it yet, John? I'm sure we're so we don't spoil it or something.
I loved it.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Except for one problem with the whole movie. The fat, lovable kid looks and acts just like my youngest son. So
including his fetishization of New Kids on the Block?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, that he gets that from me. the whole part where they're holding him and cutting into him, I mean, that was wrenching for me and Sugar Tits, because I mean, it reminded us of our son, and we're just like, oh, I'd kill a kid. I mean, God. But otherwise, yes. I mean, I liked it. I really did. I thought that What's His Face did a great job being Pennywise. And I really enjoyed it. Yes, there were some problems, but I mean, overall, it's one of the best movies best movie adaptations of a Stephen King novel that I've seen in a while. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. That's my point.
Okay. So like before this, my favorite Stephen King adaptation was The Mist. I really liked it. I really liked the just fucking intensely hardcore ending of it that was way more downbeat than the actual short story was. But I agree with you on this. Like, I feel like this is probably the best adaptation of a Stephen King book, you know, and until this point, like, Tim Curry's like
I still like the miniseries.
Yeah, either. Tim Curry's portrayal of Pennywise is always going to be amazing, but the guy that played Pennywise in this does a really good job. He has a different approach to it that I actually really like a lot. My problems with it is, Steve and I were talking about this a little bit, and I think I brought it up with Juan, like, outside of the show, too.
Yeah, we were freezing our balls off.
Yeah, we were. Holy shit, it was cold out. And I was wearing shorts.
Yeah, me too.
Fucked up, man.
And let's do a live Clyde's correction real quick. That actor is Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, right.
Bill
Skarsgård. He's only in, like, one or two other things, isn't he?
Yeah, Hemlock Grove was awesome. Have y'all not watched Hemlock Grove?
I have not.
Oh, I love that show.
I think I watched like the first half of the first episode and fell asleep and then never picked it back up.
No, dude.
It's just weird. That happens to me a lot where I'm like, this looks awesome.
Yeah. That comes with being old as fuck and having four kids.
Correctamundo.
Yeah. Exactly.
What I was going to say is the kind of the main problem that I have with this is that the movie itself is really, really good, but it doesn't like even hint at where the next one's going. It doesn't hint at them as adults and like any of that stuff. Whereas the first one, though, the first half of the miniseries is very focused on the kids. There's still like the interspersion of like what's going on with them as adults. Right. And I think that's a really effective storytelling strategy, but I think the mistake that they made is that there's a lot of assumptions that you know what's going on in the movie because you either A, have read the book, or C, seen the old, or B, seen the old. Yeah, totally skipped
A
B.
Or C.
A or C. There's no B.
One, two, five, three, seven.
1, 2, 5, 10, 9. Yeah. But it assumes that you know things about the movie going into the movie. And I see how that can happen because it is such a cultural touchstone. Like even my kids, you know, who were not alive when that came out have seen it and understand it. So, but it's just kind of a weird thing. And I think it's going to make it a little bit of a harder sell to get people to go to the second movie because it's very A to B plot line. Like the kids are there. They meet Pennywise. They go through some crazy shit. They kill Pennywise, you know, and that is a full movie. So why in the world does there not necessarily need to be a quote unquote sequel, but like a chapter two, like, because that's how it was built. You know, you see it chapter one. You know, so that was really my only main problem with the movie. Like, the kids are fucking phenomenal actors.
I laughed my ass off through the whole fucking movie. It was fucking funny. It was surprisingly funny.
It is really weird to see the kid from Stranger Things basically play the exact same role when I had literally just watched 9 hours of Stranger Things, like, the day before. So. Right.
Except I loved his foul mouth.
Oh hell yeah.
Fucking God.
That's what Juan was laughing at the whole time. Like, all of us were just laughing our asses off at him.
I'm curious how, as an actor, when they, even if they're like fake, just glass, like how you adjust to having these fucking giant bifocal fucking glasses on your face without being holy shit, I'm gonna fucking pass out.
They're just plastic.
Really? Yeah. I think I would still have some because they look thick as fuck. So I feel like it would still distort shit a little bit, but it looked hilarious. I don't know.
He was funny as shit.
Dude, I think he made the movie in a lot of ways. He was cracking me up. But, you know, my problem with the movie is it wasn't exactly scary. There were two points in the movie that scared me, which I think you guys will agree with. There's the jump scare in the bathroom, and then there's the motherfucking clown coming out of the screen in the garage, all gigantic as hell, coming after the kids. That was badass. But, you know, the rest of it just wasn't – it was very entertaining, but it wasn't scary. I mean, does that make sense?
So I freaked out a little bit because I prefer less jump and more when I feel like something's coming.
Yeah.
So when the kid's in the library and the fucking headless little kid is dropping eggs and shit, that gave me like the goosebumps. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, that's fucking, it's more creepy than it is scary. You know what I mean? So I prefer that better, but this projector scene was fucking amazing too.
That was amazing.
So I'm on the same page as Juan. I prefer like the creep out psychological scare. Like I prefer slow, like creepy movies
right.
to like the jump scare. And so for me, I felt like the fright factor of the film relied so heavily on jump scares, and so many of them were so telegraphed that I didn't really find the movie frightening like in any way. And I think a lot of people complained about that. And I right. think I think a big part of what made the miniseries so successful is that combination of this is what the adults are going through and they're remembering right. what happened.
Right.
And so there's this combination of like their distorted memories of the past because they've forgotten everything that happens
mm-hmm.
that makes it creepy as opposed to boo. And, but the scene with the projector is like, effective as fuck. Like that was really good.
Even the two scenes, the one with the crooked headed lady out of the painting, that creeped me out too. And yeah. the fucking dude with all the he had SARS or some shit.
Leprosy.
Did leprosy. There you go.
SARS.
Whatever. I can't remember.
SARS doesn't make your face rot off, dude.
Can't remember.
Just makes you cough till you die.
But those things are because it's like fuck. That freaks me out because I imagine myself getting chased around by some dude dripping with fucking his face falling off and shit, and it's creepy. But it's not like you said. It's not necessarily scary in the sense that I want to hide under a pillow or something. It more gives me the goosebumps.
Like the bathroom scene for me was that.
Right.
Like the voices in the sink and she leans over it and the blood everywhere. And then the dad like not recognizing that it's
good.
There.
Like
as an actor, you've got to be really good to just
and
be
and
like,
just be like, whoa.
Well, just to not slip and fall. Like, like the scene where she attacks her dad too was when he like kind of jumps on her and is trying to like molest her and stuff. That shit is more creepy for me because in real life, that's actually scary. And like, that's part of what makes Pennywise such a great villain in the novel and in the miniseries is that the whole town is infected with it.
Right.
Like the whole town, like, when they see the black kid getting harassed, nobody does anything about it. Everybody knows her dad's molesting her, but nobody does anything about it.
So it's like, it reminded me of, and I can't remember which sequel it was, but it reminded me of Freddy Krueger when the group of kids in the van, it might be the third one. I can't remember, but the group of
Dream
kids.
Dream Warriors?
No,
that's like the fifth one, I think.
Whichever one it is, the group of kids go because it's his daughter. It's the one where the kid thinks he's Freddy's son, but it ends up being the girl that is his daughter. But they go into this town where he's just that, like it's normal, like he's killed hundreds of thousands of people, but the town knows who Freddy Krueger is, and so they just I don't know, it's kind of weird, but I agree, like they're in this kind of. Almost like a dream state where it's just normal every day. Like nothing, they don't stop things that they see in front of, if they see them in front of their eyes, they don't stop it. It's just a normal occurrence.
Right. Like this evil is going to happen.
Right.
And if we try to like stop it, something bad will happen to me. So I just leave it alone. That like that shit's freaky to me.
I had three issues with this movie. So.
Okay.
Oh God. I liked it. I'll say that in front. I liked it. I like the miniseries better, but I like the movie. So the first one you touched on, because I went back. I didn't read the book again, and I purposefully didn't watch the miniseries leading into it because I knew, like you said, I knew going into it that they would expect me to have done that. So I didn't want to do it. So I wanted to see how it compared. And going back to the miniseries afterward, the storyline fits better because of what you said. You get the intermingle of the kids and the adults kind of telling what's going on, their story. An hour and 10 minutes into the movie, I looked at my watch and I said, I don't fucking like I know what's going on because I've seen this obviously, but there was no story. It was one horror like scene to the next, like one traumatized child to the next traumatized child. And they didn't really build any storyline into that. And that kind of bothered me.
Basically until the one kid says, look, here's my crazy people room.
Right.
And this is kind of what's going on,
exactly.
Which is like halfway through the movie.
And I was like, that's fucking crazy. But the second one is I don't like CGI. I'm just not anytime they overtly, you can tell that it's like CGI, it takes me out of the movie. And I feel like they did that a ton with Pennywise. The fucking craziness of the child getting his arm chopped off or bitten off was crazy, but I don't like the mouth. I wasn't a fan of, and I don't know if that, I can't remember now if the giant mouth is in the miniseries all that much. Pennywise opening his mouth and it kind of looks like,
they go for it because that's in the book, but they don't like achieve it because Tim Curry can only open his mouth so far.
Right.
So like now with CGI, they can make it so it's this huge, huge mouth.
Right.
Whereas in the show, like in the mini series, it was, well, how big can you open your mouth, Tim?
Like, so that
very big.
that was visceral. I mean, the kid getting his arm. I was like, holy fuck, was that in the mini series? Because I couldn't remember. Obviously, it wasn't. It just kind of pans out, and you assume, you know, what happens happens. But his arm coming out of the sewer was kind of cheesy to me, and it's just a little things when it comes to CGI that take me completely out of a movie.
Hey, Juan, I looked it up. The disease. These guys, he actually had a bad case of whooping cough.
You're so stupid. The third thing was the weird bathroom scene. The weird fucking, everything's downtrodden, there's blood everywhere, shit's going crazy, and then all of a sudden it's like this upbeat, we're cleaning the bathroom, yeah, Mary Poppins kind of scene. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it was
That's how that happened.
It was just like, so weird to me, though. It's just a weird scene.
So it's a metaphor. Like, it's a metaphor for them overcoming their fears.
Exactly.
It's the way that they have to defeat Pennywise. It's when they realize that they can beat their fears by just being better than them.
And it's the turning point where they decide to fight back.
Exactly. Like, it's actually a really pivotal part of the movie.
It was weird to me.
Oh,
it was
my very God, weird. That's like the best part of the movie, man.
Except for when
he shoots his brother. Like, that was
crazy.
That shit was emotional. I was like, holy crap, that's intense. Like,
Gabe is still just upset that all the kids didn't have sex like they did in the book.
You know, it's so funny because I had read, you know, I read that book when I was like probably in like sixth grade or something like that. And my son was like, you know, can I read it? I was like, sure, that's fine. You know, and I had completely forgotten about that scene until somebody brought up an article, like somebody had written an article about it on the internet. So my son is reading the book and I look at him, you know, take him aside. I was like, hey, just so you're aware, like this scene happens in the book and it's not in the miniseries. It won't be in the movie. Like, just so you're aware, there is a very weird scene where she has sex with all of them. He's all, oh, okay. And like, just he didn't care at all. And then he read it. Like,
because of the internet.
Well, no, he got to like he got to the end of the book. He's read it now and he like kind of took me aside. He's all, that sex scene's weird, Dad. He's all, I've read a lot of sex scenes in books and that's just, I don't get it. I was like, yeah, Stephen King likes to write about kids having sex in his books for some reason. So,
well, it was funny, but it was awkward when all the kids are in their underwears and shit. Like, you're like, I don't fucking know if I should be staring at this. Like,
should I be watching
year old girl in her panties and bra? Like, it was just weird. Yeah. That was weird. But again, I loved the movie. It was good. I still think the miniseries is better. I feel like they do a better job of not, cause CGI wasn't a thing at that point. So they do a better job of when they do things like his hand coming out of the photo album and shit. I feel like it's more gripping when it's less jumpy and fucking crazy, you know, and more subtle and creepy, than this one was. And I feel like the timeline, the storyline is better, but I liked them both. I like the movie. I'm excited for the second one.
I swear
I'm
to excited God, if to Paul see Bunyan doesn't attack them in the second one, I'm going to be so pissed off.
I'm excited to see who the cast of the second one is, the adults.
That I'm really interested in, too. And I'll be interested to see if they do more of the kids' stories, like, within the adult film. Like, that sounded weird.
Right.
All right.
Back to the girl wearing panties and bra.
Oh, dude, come on now. It's like,
it was weird. It was an awkward scene.
Well, and I think that's intentionally that, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's meant to like evoke like the feelings that you had when you were a kid, where you were just like,
that's hot, and I understand that that's right. hot, but I don't know that I'm allowed to think that. And this is kind of weird, and I don't really understand what. Oh shit, she's looking at me. Like
it's a coming of age piece in a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, the kids are staring at her. I thought the portrayal of the kid actors were amazing. Amazing, and I thought the portrayal of that entire scene and the awkwardness of it was just fantastic. But, you know, you're right. Part of why this movie worked so well was, yes, it wasn't overtly scary, but as adults, as parents, you just had an uneasy, and even just as a human being, you have an uneasy feeling when bad things happen to kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the entire movie, you're sitting there just braced because a bad thing is about to happen to a kid and there's nothing you can do about it. So yes, you kind of have that.
Not just like violently bad either. Like, yeah, some really violent things happen to him, but like a lot of emotionally bad things happen to him. Like, you know, again, like Beverly's dad, like trying to rape her, or like, you know, having to murder Georgie. I mean, that would fuck your brain up permanently.
And it's crazy because it's not even for me, it wasn't even the scenes where the dad is trying to rape Beverly at
but
the end.
But where he's just a creeper. But just the
first season
her.
Where he's like, are you still daddy's little girl? I was like, oh, whoa, that's weird.
No, she's not. Yeah. Gross. What's wrong with you, dude?
It did. I was like, oh, me and Doyle, I think both were like, whoa, pedophilia.
But it's going to make great fodder for the porn version of this.
Oh. It will, for sure. I mean.
What does the porn version of this get called? Maybe clit?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right.
No, I like
Scar. Copyright.
I like Skarsgård's facial expressions. He did really, I mean, him in the beginning in the sewer where his fucking giant teeth are kind of, not his giant, like his scary teeth, but his normal kind of
buck teeth. Buck teeth, yeah.
And then he's drooling on when top of the water. When he was drooling, shit,
that
it's crazy.
Fucking weirded me out. It's scary. I was like, oh, that's nasty. He's nasty. He gonna eat that little kid. It's gonna be fucked up.
Yeah, I loved. I mean, some of the CGI isn't horrible.
So like
when Georgie's in the basement with the water scene with it, and his face starts to kind of crack and shit. Like that's creepy. It's weird. And then fucking Penny throws him in the water. But his voice change, the modulation, is that how you say that? His voice changing and shit.
Modulation. Saying,
you'll float
modulation.
Too. You'll float too. You know, it's creepy. It's
and like
weird
the way he like kind of where Pennywise just flops onto the stair. And then eyes roll into the back of his head and he just kind of slides down back into the water. That was way more creepy for me than like any of the parts where he jumps out at you. Like just that, it's not just a person or not even just a weird physical monster. Like this is something else. Right. Like this is a really creepy thing. One of the other really effective CGI moments I felt was when they kind of when they first go into Pennywise's lair and the kids are all like floating around it, like that was really cool looking. It reminded me of, there's this music video that I'll have to remember it later, but there's this music video where everybody's like going around in a circle. And as it pans out, there's like thousands and thousands of people. And it's this weird, like, ritual that's happening, and eventually everybody just starts floating up into the air.
When he fucking does Witch
Doctor, I just can't
remember. When he does the exorcist thing into the well at the very end, that was good and creepy too. I mean, it's just overt things that really pull me out of the giant teeth and the weird. I had just seen Stranger Things too, so I thought I was looking into a Demogorgon because the mouth looks exactly the fucking same, except for the fucking the eyes. Yeah.
Which they don't explain at all.
Right. So it just was weird. Those moments where it's supposed to be like, oh my God, he's fucking getting crazy. It brings me out because I was like, well, this isn't like it is a monster movie, I guess, technically, but it wasn't like built that way. You know, it's just weird. Just those little moments. But overall, definitely go see it. I mean, go spend your money and watch the movie.
So let's talk about Stranger Things 2. Since it's kind
two
of,
as well,
season two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since it's kind of two and season two. So it kind of ties in really well together. So one of the weird things about it is that they repositioned it in time. Instead of taking place in the 60s, it takes place in the 80s now, which is one of the things that I actually don't like about the movie. I feel like it's more effective, especially with like the way the character, you know, the female and the chubby kid and the black kid, the way they interact in the miniseries, I think is way more effective in the 60s and makes a lot more sense. Like the 80s were super, super rough, but there was no way you could cut open a kid's stomach in the 80s and not go to jail for fucking ever.
So here's like, my thinking.
And the overt racism.
Yeah.
What's 27 years later? Now,
yeah,
you know, I think that's why they did it.
I know that's why they did it, but like, it's just one of the things that I don't dig a ton.
Right,
like
it was definitely
that's
weird.
Just me.
There wasn't, I don't, and maybe I could be wrong, but there wasn't because I was born late 80s. I don't remember there being like rampant racism where the dude could just be like, get the fuck out of my town, you know?
Yeah, absolutely not. Like you would have gotten, I mean, maybe in Greeley, there was some of that with not as much with Mexicans as there had been previously, but definitely like if you saw a black person, you're like, wow, Greeley has a black person, not like, get out of my town. Right. Like if you said that, somebody'd be like, that's fucked up, man. Like, don't be racist.
We talk about it on the Old Still Radio Hour.
I like how you enunciated the name of your show.
we talk about the Louis C.K. joke where he says it's great to be a white guy. And I'm not saying that to be racist. I'm just saying that to be true, because you can ask any black man where they would go if they were given a time machine, and they wouldn't go anywhere back past 1980.
Yeah.
Right.
I also like his thing about white privilege. It's awful. It's terrible. I exploit it all the time, but it's really, really bad. No, so like, so going back, so they've replaced, you know, they have made the time placement of it in the 80s. So Stranger Things season 2 came out like right after it came out. I saw them in reverse order. I saw Stranger Things 2 first and then went and saw it. So they're so similar because of like the time, like the, you know, I mean, I basically the period piece aspect of it. Like there's so many hints at like so much pop culture stuff in both of them, like the New Kids on the Block reference versus like the Ghostbusters reference and stuff like that, that I feel like it's kind of like doing this weird pandering to my generation thing that I'm not like a giant fan of.
It's overt. Sugar Tits and I both sat up on the couch and went, Trapper Keeper!
Like, and...
God, you are old.
Fuck you. I had a Trapper Keeper. Man, I had to beg my mom for a Trapper Keeper so I wouldn't be the dumb kid with a regular binder. But,
see, Juan, back in the 80s, there were these folder things.
Oh, I know. I know.
In school.
It's retro. Retro's cool now.
Retro's not cool. Like, so that kind of... I'm not a huge fan of, like, there's this concept called false nostalgia where like people that like somebody Juan's age is going to see things from the 80s and not really have lived through it.
Right.
But be like, oh man, I remember that stuff. Well, you don't really remember it because you were like 3 or 4. You remember other people enjoying it and talking about it. And so you have like this conceptualization of what it was like, but. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody about this last night, because he's a younger guy, like even younger than Juan. Oh man, he's like, I think he's
not
like,
possible.
People were not born after Juan. I think he's like 22 or something like that, and he's really excited for Ready Player One. Okay. And he's like, oh, it's going to be so good, blah, blah, blah. You know, the book is narrated by Will Wheaton, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, that's cool. But I hate that, because everybody and their mom's like, yeah, you remember how awesome Transformers were? And I distinctly remember taking my Transformer to school and having some shithead go, Transformers are for nerds, faggot, and breaking my Transformer. Like, playing with Transformers, loving Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, playing Dungeons and Dragons, none of that shit was cool. like in the '80s, we were nerds and everybody fucking hated us.
Yeah, but I don't think they,
I think Gabe went to the meanest fucking school,
but I don't
private ever, school, baby.
But I don't think that in Stranger Things you're looking at it from their vantage point and right. They think it's cool, but I don't think anybody else in the school thinks it's cool.
Nobody else in the show thinks it's cool. Right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the receptors, the people watching the show are like, yeah, remember when Dungeons and Dragons was cool? And in my heart, I'm going, no, because it never was, you fucking assholes. Like, I think Dungeons and Dragons was cool because I didn't have any fucking friends right. except for the other two kids that played Dungeons right. and Dragons. Like you guys think that that was cool, but we weren't cool.
Right.
And nobody liked us, you assholes.
Right.
And now you're like, oh man, let's get a red box. You know, I paid $80 for it on eBay. I'm like, right. I still have mine, you fucking piece of shit.
That's right. I still got my monster manual.
Like, it's just, it's one of those things where, like, it creates this idea that things were different back then.
Right.
And it, like, lays this glossy coat of, look how fun everything was. And the 80s, like, though they weren't, you know, terrible, and, like, the, you know, the early 90s and stuff, they weren't really great either. Like, it was, you know, to be a kid that was chubby or different or didn't listen to pop music wasn't, you know, I wasn't getting stabbed in the stomach by the by the school bully, but I was definitely like getting roughed up by him. You know, when I read it in the sixth grade, I completely related to him because like that's kind of how kids treated us, you know, they would push us around and like make fun of us and, you know, call us faggot and dork and stuff. And it doesn't seem.
I still say those things.
I know.
I know. We say it to you all the time.
Shut up.
Except for
now I'm a giant angry man and I'm like, yeah, call me faggot again, buddy. I on will suck episode. You off so fast.
Whoa, whoa, well,
I mean, what?
Hey, whoa. Whoa.
Hey, take a shot.
On this episode of Gabe's Therapy Hour.
So I can't relate to that because I came from a tiny school. I came from the school your kids go to. So I was the nerd. I read a shit ton of books. I read The Lord of the Rings. I've read Stephen King. I was the chess fucking champion. Like I did all of these things.
That's actually really cool to me, by the way.
I also played football and I was on the varsity team and I played basketball and I did all of those other things. So there were definitely kids who we made fun of, and we all got made. I feel like everybody gets made fun of, like no matter if you're the jock or not. But I feel like then, I don't know what it's like now, but I feel like then, like it, that wasn't a thing. Like we, yeah, of course we'd probably get made fun of because we played chess, but nobody was like beating me up or fucking sticking chess pieces in me or anything weird, you know? It was just not on
accident, at least.
Yeah. Right. And so
Except for your priest.
I don't relate to that because
that's why it's called a bishop.
because of how small the school was, I feel like everybody, a lot of right. people were a lot of people's friends.
So I had a sort of similar experience when I got into high school. Like I went to private school. The middle school I went to was very stratified. Like there were kids that had been going there since kindergarten and me coming in as the fourth grader that was already kind of weird. Like everybody fucking hated me. Like even my two friends, like we didn't get along most of the time. But in high school, like our school was so small that I was like in everything from Knowledge Bowl to football right. to, you know, future business leaders and all that other stuff while also being in like a punk band and right. playing Dungeons and Dragons with my friends. So like high school was a little different, but when I was their age, when I was like that middle school right. age, and before that I did like my mom moved me around a shitload. Right. So like every year I was like at a new school and I was always that weird kid
you
from somewhere else. Yeah. Oh yeah, I was. That's weird. But it's just kind of this interesting, like, it bugs me when we kind of like pretend like the past was great.
Right.
Like, because it really wasn't. Like, you know, it was fun. There were a lot of fun things. And like, it bums me out that my kids can't go ride their banana bikes all over the neighborhood and just do whatever. And interestingly enough, it's safer now than it was then. And they would be just fine. But if I allow it, which I do, like I allow my kids to kind of hang out in the neighborhood and do right. whatever, they still don't have anybody else to hang out with because nobody else's kids are doing that.
Right.
You know, so yep. it's just like a weird, it's like this weird catch 22 where like mentally we think it's less safe when really it's more safe.
That's why I love the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I liked your whole conversation last episode about how back in the 80s, everything had secret Satanism involved in it, too.
I've been reading shitload about that.
That was so true. I mean, like, if you played Dungeons & Dragons, there was stories of kids who went out and played Dungeons & Dragons in a sewer and sacrificed ritually to Satan, and you know.
No, sat in a basement and rolled fucking dice.
See, it's weird for me because, so I was the youngest of five. We were poor. There were seven people in my house. We were on government assisted housing, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and so, And so now as an adult, I get to look back and I get to go, God, that looks cool. Cause I don't remember the 80s. That wasn't my time. The 90s were barely my time, you know? So it's, for me, it's like, that looks fun. You know, I wish we would play Dungeons and Dragons now because I've never done it.
Oh, I'll totally play Dungeons and Dragons.
It looks enjoyable. You know, I don't know if it is or not.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
But I look at it and go, man, that looks cool. I have no idea if that's what it was or wasn't because like I said, wasn't my time. But now that I have the ability to immerse myself into the entertainment, you know, side of the world and buy things and have my own money and shit, you know, I mean, look at my fucking basement.
Yeah.
I mean, there's shit everywhere in here because I love it now.
I'm the same way. Like, I have a whole room dedicated to that.
Right.
Shit,
and so those are things that excite me more because I'm like, now I can do that. Like, I have friends who will do that with me. You know what I mean?
If you want a closer approximation of how the 80s were, the show The Goldbergs really nails it, where like his brother, it's funny and it's lighthearted and it's good, but like his older brother is a jock that kind of occasionally treats him like shit. Like his sister's really preppy and kind of treats him like shit. And he's the smart one, but everybody thinks he's an idiot. And like, but he's just like kind of, he's a cool kid. And in the long run, they're a family. So they all love each other and they get over their differences and whatnot. And that's really normal. But like everybody kind of treats him like he's dumb because he likes different things than everybody else. And in the long run, he's not the dumb one. You know, like he's kind of the smart one in the family and he's definitely not the crazy one, even though like his fervor for Back to the Future is out of control completely. Like, I mean, that's how nerd kids were. Like, we got excited for things just like we do now.
Right.
It's just that there's not a 24-hour news cycle where we're excited about the Justice League trailer one day and excited about the Punisher trailer the next day because everything comes out so fast.
Right.
It's you saw a poster for Gremlins and then you read an article like a month later in Fangoria about Gremlins. And then you read an article like a month later in Cinema Fantastique about Gremlins. And you still had 3 months to wait before fucking Gremlins came out. And you were excited about it for like 6 months.
To be fair, the Justice League trailer happened like a year before the movie is fucking coming out.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not that quick turnaround into what we're excited about. Like, we're excited about this one day and this the next day and this the next day because something new happens every single day, if not like two or three things.
Right.
You know, and on top of regular ass news.
Happy 12 days until Punisher comes out too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, even
or now, when you're listening to this 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The newest episode, I'm apologizing right now, is coming out late. It's going to be a short one, so I'll knock it out soon. But this week in every year is always fucking insane because I have a birthday and then an anniversary and then Halloween and then a fucking birthday again. So it's fucking nuts for me, but I'll get that bitch out.
It's like May for me.
It's fucking crazy. It's
May where I have three birthdays and my anniversary and usually Denver Comic Con. It's like, oh Jesus, too many at once.
but even now, you know, as an adult, going back to what we were talking about, as an adult, people still make fun of me. I don't give a fuck. That's the beauty of being an adult now is that I just don't care.
Yeah.
But even now when I'm like, yeah, I'm taking 10 days off to go fucking halfway across the country to go to a Comic-Con, people are like, that's a thing? Like, really?
I'm
like,
it's the age of the geek nowadays.
When was the last time you went to an event with 100,000 people at it? Like, what? Like, my shit is probably more popular than your shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Which is really weird now.
Well, it's like we look at the nerds nowadays and we say, we fought for your freedom, son.
We are the nerd civil rights movement.
For us, it was not as easy.
I paved the way, guys.
You did by getting beat up and not caring. I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
And just being like, I don't give a shit. Whatever. I'm still going to read these books. I'm still going to listen to Anthrax all day. Okay, so.
Stranger Things.
Besides that, Stranger Things season 2. Overall, really, really good.
Amazing.
I really like the way, you know, and we'll try to keep it as spoiler free as possible, but I really like the way.
We are?
Yeah, I
buddy,
do.
It happened like a week ago, and it's going to happen like 3 weeks from now.
Well, I mean, let's try. I said as possible.
Okay, all right.
I like the way the season ends in a way that if for some reason they don't make a third season.
I think it's already been renewed.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
But if they – when they finish filming it, they have no idea because they finished filming it like six, 7 months ago.
Right.
But I like the way they finish it so that if there's not a third season, it's a complete story.
Right.
But they've left it very open for like a third season.
I love.
Can I ruin?
Yeah, go.
Can
for
I
it.
Ruin Stranger Things for you real quick? Once I notice this, it pisses me off every time. But what Stranger Things sucks with is phone calls. They make phone calls way too fucking easy. Because anybody who lived back then knew when you had those fucking rotary phones, you couldn't just pick up the phone and make a phone call within 2 seconds.
No, it took like a couple minutes. Yeah.
Took you like, go ahead.
That was one loud ass fucking phone.
That's how loud phones were, dude. Like, that was shitty. Yeah. Like, that, if the phone rang at like late at night, you knew it was a family emergency because nobody called late at night. Because if your phone rang, it woke everyone up. Like, it was awful. The one thing that I noticed, like, cause it was funny, I thought the same thing to myself about the phones, but the one thing I noticed that nobody did was dial like 8 and then like force the rotary back. Like, do you remember doing that when you wanted to dial fast where you're like, go back so I can dial more?
Yep.
I don't know. There are little things like that.
So the biggest things for me, again, like you, I loved this season. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I did. It was really good.
The biggest things for me, and I'm going to jump on the train because I've read a ton of articles about it, was episode 7. It's hard to do this without.
No, it's okay.
It, but like, she figures out that she has what she calls a sister, quote unquote, because they're not really, but they're, you know, they grew up together. They have the same, they have similar abilities.
Don't judge her.
Well, you know what I mean. But it's a weird.
Right. We see 8, but we want to see 6 and 9.
Well, and then it's like, it's 11 and then 8 and where's 9 and 10? Like it leaves things way open and it's just a weird outlier to the whole series.
So clearly it's the bridge into the next season that the next season's going to be about her.
Or a spinoff is what I heard.
I'm thinking it's going to end up being a bridge to her trying to find her other siblings, and that the next season is going to be more about that than the Upside Down.
It's just
the episode itself, I really loved because like shows like Suburbia or even like Star Trek, whichever one where they go back in time and they save the whales and there's the punk rocker with like the giant mohawk on the bus listening to the boombox.
Star Trek 5?
I think it's 5, yeah. But like this, there's like this sensibility in 80s films that gangs have to have certain people in them. They have to have a crazy lady, a giant black guy, a punk rocker, like there has to be like this gang diversity
The black guy dies first.
And the black guy dies first and they fucking nailed it in Stranger Things. Right. Like it was so classic, cheesy 80s street gang. I was like, man, this is awesome. Like this is perfect. This is exactly the way they should be. And I actually really liked the episode and I'm interested to see more of those kind of characters, like, kind of interspersed to, like, expand the world. Like, this idea that she goes to, like, a big city and that all these different things are happening, like, within a broader scope right. than just their little town. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. So, I kind of hope that they deal more with the siblings and, like, the organization that kind of raised them, for lack right. of a better term, than just, like, the monsters.
I agree. The one thing I didn't like about it is that it really came out of nowhere.
Yes.
That's the thing. And then it didn't go anywhere else afterward. You know what I mean? I feel like, because in order for this season to work, Eleven has to not be there until the end.
Yeah.
Because she'll just fucking go in there and she'll just destroy the thing and it'll be over. You know what I mean? So in order for this season to work, she can't be involved with the group until the end. And so for me, it would have been better if that's what they were going to push, to have her little story throughout the whole series,
as opposed instead to of one giant
episode that just right. feels weird.
It's very out of place. Yeah. That I 100% right. agree with. Like, I feel like it would have been better as, like, a story arc
right.
than, like, a singular story.
Right. 10 or 15 minutes dedicated to her figuring out what happened to her mom and then going to this place. I mean, that would have been better to me. Cause then I'm like, okay, like, she's been gone this whole time. She's right. been and out
can,
of state.
And they can
or
make the story make a little more sense by going, hey, she spent, like, a few weeks right, with these people right. as opposed to she's there one day, day two, we're going to go kill a dude. Like, of course she's going to say no. Like, you don't just meet a group of friends and have them say, let's go kill people and go, yeah, cool. Like, no,
wait, why not?
Well, yeah, I mean,
I feel like Sugar Tits is the fucking crazy lady in the Devil's Rejects. Like, that's how the band of the shit that they've got going.
Oh, if you only knew. Yeah. And by the way, it was Star Trek IV where they went back for the whales, the voyage home. Got to correct ourselves. But I mean, I know, right?
I don't have to correct anything. You do it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm totally preventing anybody from Clyde's correcting me is what it is. No, the Stranger Things, the one thing that gets me about the whole 7, 8, 9, 11, whatever, all that bullshit, is I would love to see the spinoff of that. Now that you mentioned that, that is exciting to me because I really like the show going in that direction versus going, you know, focusing just on the Upside Down. But, you know, that maybe that's just my preference.
Well, and see, that's what I feel. If you're not going to do a spinoff and you're going to do a whole season, that's why I think maybe half of the show dedicates to her journey of finding her other missing family and what's going on with the organization. And then half of the journey is these guys figuring out this giant fucking monster. You know, that feels more like a complete story than just one singular episode. And then you don't hear about it anymore. Right. Cause at the very beginning, it's the sister. And then seven hours later, there she is.
I think part of why they felt like they could get away with doing that storytelling wise is they knew that the vast majority of people that watch it are just going to sit down and watch the whole thing.
Right.
And so they're like, well, we can just put it as like a singular episode. It makes it less difficult to write because they don't have to like interject it into like scene splices throughout right. the entire season. And, you know, have to think about like the timing and the pace of like each episode with like this extra right. like little storyline in it. So instead they went, okay, here's the teaser at the beginning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here's the story. 7, 8, right. you know, 8, 9, like kind of thing. So it is weird.
And I wish they would just go ahead and call the Upside Down the Veil of Shadows. I mean, that's what it was, and we're referencing D&D. Is it a trademark issue, or is it a?
I would assume as much.
Yeah.
Well, are these? So speaking of trademark, are these animals that they're referencing? Is that not copywritten? I mean, I don't know because again, I've never played.
The Demogorgon and the Mind Flayer.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that all fucking copywritten too?
Which is why they probably can't call it like specifically that for the show. They just have to say right. it's like the Veil of Shadows. It's like right. a Mind Flayer.
Like a Mind Flayer. Yeah. It's the whole Lego movie thing where they're like, yeah, these British death robots.
Which incidentally got a huge laugh at the theater when I went and saw it.
Right.
says a lot about how far Doctor Who has come. Because I remember being in like grade school and be like, I was watching Doctor Who on PBS last night, and people were like, what?
First off, what's PBS?
Yeah. my mom has PBS sometimes.
Oh, God damn it.
That took me a little bit.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's a thinker. We don't have those often.
My youngest kid came home the other day and said, hey, Dad, knock, knock. And I said, who's there? He goes, doctor. And I said, doctor. And he goes, sonic screwdriver.
And you said, nerd. And you cut his stomach. No, just kidding.
That's right. Carved my initials right in that little bitch.
Oh, man. I feel bad that you said that, even though it's a joke. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. Never mind. I changed my mind. I wish I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, yeah, Stranger Things is badass. I'm really, really enjoying it. But, you know, have you guys watched some of the other great shows out right now? I don't want to change topics right now until we're done, but I want to bring those up in a little
bit. No, I'm not done yet.
Okay, we'll keep going. We'll talk about it in a second.
No, so the only other thing that I wanted to mention is that I feel like
take forever.
I know. We're fucking 55 minutes into two topics in this whole episode so far.
Well, they're really good topics, though.
Great topics.
I was looking up his name and because I'm horrible with him, but the main character now fucking deserves a goddamn Oscar. Like, he does the. Not even overtly, like the spy perfectly, and his face is perfect, and him, you know, when they get the shit out of him at the end, you know, it's fucking amazing. Like,
oh, he the does kid a, that plays the, Will?
The actor.
Yeah.
Is it Will?
Yeah.
Okay. He does awesome in this one. Like, he is an amazing replacement for Eleven not being there. You know, it's fucking great. I think he does really good for such a young guy being a, and then at the end, you know, he can be, he's that weird little awkward kid again, you know, it's good. That's all I wanted to say is I feel like he did an amazing job acting in this.
So movie. The transition all right. For Steve.
Wait, Gabe, no, Gabe, home.
I talk.
Juan, are you done yet?
Yes.
go ahead, Gabe. I'm sorry.
So the transition for Steve Harrington in the first season, like episode 2, I remember looking at my wife and saying, I hope the monster kills that guy. And by the end of the second season, I was like, that guy is the coolest fucking dude on the face of the earth.
Well, like, I at the end of the first season, I was like, how the fuck did she stay with him and not the other guy? Yeah. What the fuck? It was really weird.
Just like the way he is with the kids, though, and how he ends up being like a part of the group and like stepping, like by being picked on by a bully, kind of stepping outside of himself and like realizing, oh shit, this is like how I've been treating
these kids.
There's
so much more I can talk about this show.
I know.
It's Sean Astin, we didn't even talk about him at all.
Oh, man.
Can I just say, how many decades has Sean Astin waited to make out with Winona Ryder?
Oh, right? And just, you know that's like a childhood
dream.
Isn't
that like a giant fucking age gap there? I don't know how old are they?
No, he's
got to be close
the same age.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're the same generation actor.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. It's like Winona Ryder was always the hot chick, and Sean Astin was always the dweeb. So you know that would never happen.
He tells the whole story of that in the season too, of how he was the dweeb and how now he gets to make out with the hot girl. You know.
I just love Do you know basic? Like, no. I mean, how hard can it be? Well, do you know French? Like, I mean, it's a programming language. Like, it's not just like, computer. Yes. Oh, no. I thought that was funny.
No, I mean, and like, Juan, do you have any idea about BASIC?
I know what it is. I don't know how to code. I only went into any kind of coding just kind of a little bit, but I know what it is. I just have never done it.
I know they call you basic a lot.
Which is fine.
Have you seriously? It wasn't just basic. There was also Basica, which was a derivative of that. And I learned Basica. You know, my dad was one of the forerunners of having a home computer. We still have it too.
What don't you understand about me being the youngest of five and being fucking poor?
I know.
I know. Computer, what was that?
you were negative 12 when this time period I'm talking about.
Yeah, I didn't get a computer to myself until I bought it when I was in high school.
Well, we still have this. My dad brought home this suitcase looking thing. It's a white, and it's the size of a Samsonite suitcase, and the front of it pops off and drops down into a keyboard. And then you have a little 8-inch by 8-inch green and black screen and then two floppy disk drives. Now the whole damn thing has less computing power than my digital alarm clock nowadays. However, I learned the basic computing language just so I could play this one little Star Trek game that my dad had for it. You had to go onto the computer, type in you didn't have Windows back then. You had to literally input which code you were going to use. And as a, I don't know, 7 or 8 year old kid, I learned just to play Star Trek. That's what I wanted to do.
I remember my mom bought us like the Tandy Color Computer 2, which was like the Radio Shack computer. And it had like, it was the same thing, like built-in keyboard, all that stuff, but you plugged it into your TV. I remember I had to type out probably like 15 to 20 lines of code to make the chess game that you plugged in as like a giant goddamn cartridge play on the computer. And I would sit there typing code for like 20, 30 minutes just to play one game of chess and then fucking lose miserably in like 4 moves.
So they sell, I love doing it. I just haven't done it all that much, but they sell these things that are like $150 now for kids that are geared towards kids. It's a keyboard. It's a little tablet thing and it's a coding software. Like that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And so they can make video games. They can do these cool, like for me, we were just in Toys R Us because we were buying some things for our kids because it's their birthdays. And I was like, I fucking want that. Like that sounds interesting to me because I love doing that shit. So it's expensive, but I love it. I mean, I wish we just weren't fortunate enough. I wish I could have done more of those things that I now have the ability to do if I wanted to myself.
I think kids 10 to 20 years from now will just be able to code because that's what the world's going to be like at that point. Like nowadays you have to be an IT technician, take Java classes. It's going to be second nature for these kids here shortly, in my opinion. It's like speaking a second language and being bilingual. They can just get on their computer, type out shit and hack away.
Oh no. I feel like it's actually gone past that already, where like so much of like programming is just like, you know, point and click stuff. Like, yeah. Oh no, it'll be interesting to see what direction that turns, because there's always going to be, like, as long as there's computers, there's always going to be room for people that code. So
I like that Dilbert cartoon where he's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm trying to build a porn filter for parents. And the dog looks at him and says, so you're pitting yourself against the collective hormonal urge of children and teenagers around the world. Yeah, did you know that if you put a little hat on a snowball, it lasts a lot longer in hell?
what other shows are you going to teach us about?
All right, the first thing you guys have to watch, and I've tried to talk to you about it before, is Douglas Adams' Dirk Gently. Holy shit, you would love this show. Dirk Gently.
His holistic detective agency.
Holistic detective, that is correct.
I read the book when I was like in high school or something. So I keep wanting to watch it and just not watching it.
The show is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but like I said last time, the entire time you have no fucking idea what's going on. It's just like one big roller coaster until you finally get to the end and everything, you know, is explained to you. And season 2 has started now and it's the exact same way. It's fucking phenomenal. You've got to watch that. Now, have you guys watched the new comic book Nerdalicious show, The Gifted?
No, I haven't, but I've wanted to watch that show, but I haven't had the time. So we're in this weird period where, the Big Bang Theory is back. I'm watching Young Sheldon. I'm watching Gotham. I'm watching Arrow. I'm watching The Flash. I'm watching The Walking Dead. Like all of this is the time where fucking everything that I watch is on right now. So it's hard for me to branch out into other things, but I wanted to watch The Gifted. I've heard good things.
Yeah, Gabe, I know you were an X-Men fan in the past, and this is basically the New Mutants. Like, you know, the guys that we know as Sunspot and Warpath and all the New Mutants. This is their story and how they began. Polaris, all those characters. That's what the show is about. But you don't know that going into it unless you're a comic book nerd, because the only one who's really still named the same is Polaris. I'm gonna have to go back and look, because I know they had different code names. Like Warpath started off as Thunderbird, and so in the show they call him Thunderbird, but he wasn't Thunderbird for very long. You mainly knew him as Warpath.
Yeah right.
So when you watch the show, like the whole time I'm like, ooh, here's a new character. Which one is this? You know, I'm trying to figure it out. And I'm screaming. I'm like, oh, that's Sunspot, you know, but they call him Eclipse. So, nice. You know, there's a bunch of cool Nerdalicious Easter eggs for those of us who grew up watching it. Let's see. What else? Are you guys watching anything new? I mean, how is Young Sheldon? I haven't even given that a shot yet.
So it's actually only, so the first episode came out like a month ago, like a month or a month and a half ago. It was supposed to be like a trial period and to see how it kind of got reviewed. And then they would run the rest of the show. So it was this week was only the second episode. I think it's funny. I think it's a lot like the Goldbergs, where he has a twin sister, and they're both young, but she's like more popular. And then his older brother is like a jock, just a mean kid. And then the mom is super, super religious. And I think it's funny, you know, but I, again, there's a lot of things that I'm just like, I fucking love everything. It's hard for me to not like something. But I think it's funny, but I also love The Big Bang Theory. That's my jam. That's my shit. So, right. And Sheldon, the older Sheldon comes back and narrates, what's going on in the young Sheldon life. And so this whole last episode was about, he's in high school and he's only like 7 years old. And so he's trying to find friends and connect with friends. And he reads a book about how to do it and shit. I think it's funny. I think it's worth a watch.
So it's like Big Bang, The Wonder Years.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds exactly.
It's
like
kind of like
Goldbergs.
The Goldbergs. It's exactly what it's like. The dad is like right. They're trying to transition into how they fucking deal with a kid who's super, super gifted. And so the dad seems kind of dumb, but he's not. And the mom is, I don't know. It's just, I think it's good. I think it's worth a watch.
Right. Well, I mean, let's face it. The Goldbergs is just basically the Jewish Wonder Years. I mean, it's what it is.
But funnier, way funnier.
Oh, way, way better.
Like,
yeah,
I love that show. Yeah. So I think pretty much the only new show that I've been watching over the last couple weeks is Lore. Amazon Prime picked up the podcast Lore as like a TV show. It's different. It's like, you know, because a guy just narrating a story to you doesn't translate super well into television. So what they do is, if you've ever listened to the podcast, he has like kind of a theme and he tells like two or three like kind of folklore tales that like revolve around that theme. So on the TV show, what they do is he'll narrate the first story to like animation. And then the second story is kind of acted out reenactment style, sort of like Unsolved Mysteries would be. And then he kind of does the wrap up with animation again. And it's really cool. Like it's a cool combination of like animation, live action, like narrative storytelling. You know, it still feels very podcasty. You know, it feels like something that, you know, it's on Amazon Prime and it feels like something that you could very easily find on like YouTube or something like that. It's very,
yeah, I'm going to have the wah, wah, wah of that.
I feel like it's very informed by like our times. Like it's very much a product of, how YouTube channels are, how, you know, podcasts are produced, and like that kind of homegrown television where they're making something that's so different, but done on such a small budget that it feels very like genuine. I don't know. It doesn't feel like overproduced. It doesn't feel like something that a television studio would ever come out with, because they would never think to themselves, I should just have like narrative storytelling done in a creative fashion as a TV show. You know, there's not anything like it. And it also deals with like that kind of folklore horror aspect of things that I really enjoy. So it's good. And like at work, I've been, you know, I've had the opportunity to sit and listen to a lot of podcasts while working. So I've been catching up on lore on top of it. So it's been pretty cool. Like, it's a really good show. It's definitely worth watching.
And you've really got to stop posting all that food porn. All right. You really have to stop, because I am way too far away to drive up and enjoy this food porn that you are posting all over Facebook. My God, like, I'm sitting there at work hungry as shit and you're posting like, here's today's amazing creation that I have made. And it's like, God damn it. I can't get that anywhere around here. Thanks, Gabe.
You're welcome.
But speaking of another new show that will segue into our pop culture classic for the day, what is the connection between the Orville and Critters?
No idea.
I don't know, but I like the Orville. A lot of people shit on it, but I like the Orville.
It's been renewed for a second season.
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh yeah. I love the Orville. I mean, I don't understand how they get away with ripping off Star Trek. However,
there's like a whole group of people who are like, this is more Star Trek than Discovery.
The new Star Trek. Yeah. Though they did drop their first F-bomb in a Star Trek.
I know. They say fucking Star Trek. No, the Orville, would you believe, the navigator, is that what his position is? The redheaded actor who, Scott Grimes, Scott Grimes is the, Orville's navigator. He's also the little kid Brad in Critters. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I was just looking up the cast. As soon as you said Scott Grimes, I was like, oh shit, that's a little kid in Critters.
He's the one. There you go. He was playing, he was teaching the robot how to do pranks.
Nice.
Yeah. And the fucking robot cut his leg off.
Cut his fucking leg off.
Man, feel like I really need to watch this show.
He wakes up and the robot's like cut his leg off and fixed it up and he must have fallen asleep or did it in his sleep. And he wakes up and he gets up and he just fucking whoop and he fucking falls. It's so funny.
Once he has a chance to actually think about it, he's like, you know, that was probably the best fucking prank.
After he's done being really angry.
It's good. I mean, they touch on... they have like a message in almost every single one of their fucking episodes. So it's cool. Exactly. It is very Star Trek-y for sure.
Yeah. I've had to explain that to my kids. I was like, no, guys, what you don't understand is every episode is a subtle social commentary.
Right.
Everything about it, like this one's about gay and transgender rights, and this one is about social media and its effect on our culture, and you know,
there was the one before this one was it was like everybody has an opinion and it touched on social media stuff, and right. So you would wear this little badge on you that had a green arrow
up or down, but
red arrow down, and so as you're living your life, if you did something cool for somebody, they'd touch the little green arrow and you'd get a point, you know. But if somebody caught you doing something stupid on social media, then your fucking points would just whoosh, and then you'd have to go to this court and they could execute you. I mean, they could give you a lobotomy and shit. It was really weird. And it was cool because towards the end, they make the, you know, they're conflating a opinion with what's actually right. You know, what's fact. And those people don't understand that because they've lived in this society where whatever the majority thinks is right. You know, if candy's healthy, then that's what's right. That's what the majority thinks.
It's got electrolytes. It's what plants crave.
So it's crazy. It's cool though.
And that brought into focus something that we focused on my show, which is just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. And, you know, the thing that cracked me up about that.
Yes, it does.
I know.
As we hang up on Clyde.
I know, right? The thing that I love about that particular episode, though, was that, like, they had a sign up in like the coffee shop that was like, anybody below 50,000 dislikes will not be served here.
Right.
You know, and like one lady was like, I got most of these in my 20s. I'm a different person now. Hilarious.
Oh, man. Like a real life version of that is happening in Greeley right now. There's a guy that's running for city council that literally caught a felony 27 years ago. Okay. It's literally the last time he's had negative interaction with the police was 27 years ago. And there's people that are calling for him to be disqualified in the election that people have already been voting on for like 3 weeks.
Right. It's like, fuck that guy.
Dude, he got a felony almost 30 years ago and has never committed a crime since. Like, clearly he fucking learned his lesson. Like, calm the fuck down, people. Like,
people annoy the shit out of me.
That's what gets me is I would rather vote for somebody who's a real fucking person.
Right.
You know, who has lived and gotten in trouble than this little fucking pristine goody two shoes who has never done anything wrong in their life. You know, fuck that bullshit. That's not a real person.
Like, I'm not going to lie. If I wouldn't have turned in my ballot already, I probably would have voted for him after reading that. Like, just because he deserves a second chance, like, right. And he probably has already gotten a second chance, and it's why he's successful enough to think that he can run for city council. Like, I mean, the dude obviously has been a part of the community long enough that he feels comfortable doing that and feels like he has a chance. Like, you don't just run for city council. Well, you know, I could rip all these people off. Well, I mean, I'm sure some people do, but
right.
Speaking of crazy politics, House of Cards got canceled.
Oh, because
Kevin Spacey,
because he's gay.
Okay.
Is gay.
Are we opening up this whole sexual assault can of worms?
I mean, I feel like we almost have to, because I was going to bring up Harvey Weinstein too. And like
Weinstein,
knowing that he's a sleazeball, which looking at him, I would have assumed anyways. Like, please, does it, I'm never gonna, I'm not gonna stop watching his movies. Like, they're already out. They've already happened. It doesn't change that they're good movies. Like, knowing that someone's shitty doesn't change that he, you know, had a participatory part in making the movie. Like, I don't know.
Oh God, bad things happen in Hollywood. Who fucking knew?
I know. Like, it's just such a weird thing. Like, look, it's not right. Like, he shouldn't be doing it, but there's like literally a whole porn genre called casting couch that's people pretending to like cast people so that they can like have sex with them. Like, it's not like it's hidden. It's not like it's a secret. It's everybody knows this and just nobody had the fucking balls to do anything about it.
Please, like, tell me you just got my young Frankenstein joke, by the way.
I did, yes.
Okay, good. No, what gets me is this whole definition of sexual, quote unquote, assault. Are you fucking kidding me? The whole Kevin Spacey story with the actor from Star Trek was that he got drunk. He walked in. He picked the guy up and then collapsed on top of him. And that drunk, like, just passed out, like, didn't molest him, didn't. Dude, I mean, he just literally was drunk, walked in, picked him up, fell over on top of him, and the guy had to wiggle out from underneath him. And that is sexual assault.
Yeah, I think part of it is the way Kevin Spacey responded to it by saying, yes, what I did was inappropriate. And by giving that complicity and saying, yes, that was inappropriate, it gives everybody this leeway to just say, all right, shut it down. Like, everything that Kevin Spacey has ever done is absolutely horrible and he's a bad person and blah, 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 because he admitted to doing something wrong. But it's not like it's not like now that this one guy has said it, like 40 other people have come forward and said, yeah, Kevin Spacey grabbed my dick. Like, it's like this guy has said this one thing and now Kevin Spacey's being like demonized for it. Whereas like Harvey you say his last name because I'll fuck it up.
Weinstein.
Because he's Jewish.
I don't care, but
that's how you say it though.
I know, but I don't need to say it right. Nobody says my fucking last name right.
La 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 la.
See? See? Anyway, like, he had a pattern of it. Like, yeah, that dude should be vilified. Like, he would, people would walk in, he'd just be jerking off and say, just let me finish and you can have this part. Like, that's messed up. Like, that's gross. Right. And like, somebody right. should have done something about that, right. you know, 25 years ago. It's just that nobody had the fucking nuts to do it.
But here's the thing is he had this like little, I don't know what to call it, like a little skit slash presentation that he did every time. He would invite them up to his room. He would be in the bathroom. He would walk out in a bathrobe and ask for a massage every fucking time. No variation. Like every story is exactly the same. And
not only
like,
is he gross, he's yeah. boring.
Yeah, exactly. It's like some sort of weird fetish. I don't know. But here's my main problem. It's not sexual assault if you agree to do it. Okay? If you, for your career, decide to give him the massage, let him perform oral sex on you, and you perform oral sex on him, and then have sex, and then afterwards date him, okay, that's not sexual assault.
And I don't know though that like every, like a lot of his cases, like a lot of the women that have come forward, that's not the case. You know, like they've gone in for like an interview or they've gone to his hotel room to meet him for like a, you know, a chance to like be cast. And he's just been gross with them and they've refused him and he's still been like really pushy. Like the dude's definitely a sleaze.
Oh, like, he's definitely an asshole.
And yeah. definitely deserves to be like vilified. But it doesn't change the fact that those movies got made. Like, I'm not saying stop watching the movies that he produced. Like the dude deserves to be, you know, ostracized from the system because clearly he's abusing his power to like get sexual gratification out of people that he has no fucking chance in hell with otherwise. Like, you know, when you think about some of the women that have come forward, like that dude's not going to hook up with that woman unless he can say, unless you fuck me, you're not getting this movie part, you know? So it,
right.
It's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other, where like these women are put in like this really untenable situation where like to survive, they have to do this thing and they don't want to, but they do it and they're put in like a position where someone in power over them is abusing that power. Like just because like you don't know, there's probably altar boys that enjoyed being with their priest. It doesn't make it right. Like, there's probably altar boys.
Hey, I did.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I know. I'm sorry for you, I guess. I don't know.
I was seriously an altar boy till 12th grade. I really was. But no, my priest never was like that. Anyway, continue.
He only patted me on the butt.
I can show you on the doll where he touched me. However...
Like, I just, there's just the abuse of power, I think, is more reprehensible than any yeah. other aspect of it, where he's saying, right. I know that I can get you to do something that you don't want to do because you need to work. And like, everybody right. needs to work. If, you know, even if it wasn't sexual, even if he was saying, look, I will give you this job, but you have to like literally shovel shit. Like that's messed up. Like don't force people to do things that they're not wanting to do just so you can have.
Right.
Just because you can. Like that's right. The abuse of power is more offensive to me than any other aspect of that. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, to me, it's the fact that, yes, there were some cases of actual sexual assault from this guy. However, from the things I've read, 80% of them were just him being a scuzz bucket. All right. Not sexual assault. There is a difference. There is a line. You cross the line to sexual assault when you actually do the assault part of it. You know, sexual harassment maybe, or sexual deviancy or just plain being what's known as a Hollywood producer. You know, I mean, that's just kind of Hollywood's needed to be cleaned up for a long time. But a lot of these cases, I mean, the media is blowing it all out of proportion, and I'm sure misquoting people and or, you know, just making headlines. But if you read, I mean, I was a theater major. Okay. When you walk backstage and the gay guy walked by and grabbed your ass, you didn't say, "Oh my God, Mr. Spacey." You said, "Oh, hey, Kevin, what's up, man?" That's just how it was. Cause, you know, you're a guy. You just shrug and go, whatever. And, but come on, you know, the definition of sexual assault has to be a little bit more strict than the media and all this witch hunt has given it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, it's interesting because I was listening to an article about this on the radio, like on the way in. And there's this idea that like public opinion is like a pendulum. It swings one way and the other. And it went from like one extreme where it was okay for him to be that way. And it's okay for, you know, women to make, you know, this much less money and like all these other things. And now it's swinging the opposite direction in to the point where it's becoming like negative in the opposite direction as well, like where people are being vilified for things that maybe aren't necessarily like the worst thing in the world. Like I think Harvey is a significant exception because clearly the dude was like a sleazeball. But I don't think there's anybody that really knows anything about Hollywood that doesn't assume most movie producers are fucking sleazeballs. Like, he's definitely not a singular incident. There's definitely other people out there that are doing the exact same thing right now. It's just that nobody's saying anything about it.
Doing it to Gabe right now.
Stop touching me there.
That's right. I was wondering why Juan was being so quiet. That's, you know.
It's because he's gently caressing my left nut.
He is sexually assaulting you as we speak.
Just the left one.
Just the left one.
That's his thing.
Is he in the bathroom? All right. So here's the other side of this whole discussion. Would you right now to make the $20 million paycheck as a lead actor in a movie? Would you have sex with Harvey Weinstein right now?
Hell no.
To make 20 million.
Nah, that dude's gross looking.
Yeah. I
like,
mean,
that guy looks like me. I don't want to have sex with me. Like, I don't even understand why my wife enjoys having sex with me.
I think the better comparison, because he wouldn't have done it to a male. I think, you know, people that do that think that they have the power, you know, he has power over females or whatever. So I feel like the better comparison would have been a wealthy female producer asking you to do it.
But I still wouldn't. Like if I was put in a position where somebody said to have this job, you have to,
Here's the thing, though. You're not talking to have this job where I'm flipping burgers for $15 an hour.
No, I know.
You're talking to have this job for $20 million. Would you sleep with this fucking scuzzball one time?
I probably would not.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, for $20 million and the lead acting role, I would sleep with any female you put in front of me.
Right.
And sugar tits.
That's what I'm saying.
And sugar tits would slap my ass and say, "Have at it."
We're
moving into our mansion tomorrow.
Would not. Like, and that's because I am weird about shit like that. Like, I would have a serious issue with that. So.
Well, but I don't think that those women men who it happens to.
There's definitely women that refused him. Right, there's definitely women that were like, "Fuck no, you nasty scuds." Like,
and actually, that's another conversation. How many of these women who say they refused him actually slept with him? That's Michael, like Gwyneth Paltrow, what's her name? The crazy Tomb Raider chick.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. All of them are like, "No, I flat out refused and left in a hurry." And you're like, "Yeah, right. You fucked them."
Oh my God.
I don't think that. I'm going to take what they say on face value. Like, I appreciate it when people go, yeah, I hope Gabe's not lying. So I'm going to say, yeah, I hope they're not lying and just leave it at that. Let's move on to another.
This is lowest rated part of this fucking episode.
No, let's move on to another scuzzball. Okay. Jeremy Clarkson, who is of, oh man, I can't think of their old show. Top Gear fame. Okay. He's a hilarious old English curmudgeon, and he got fired from the BBC for like literally assaulting one of their producers over a sandwich and also calling him Oriental, I think. So the guy, not the coolest person in the world, but Amazon doesn't give a fuck about that.
Wait. He called him Oriental.
Yeah. Which is
like, you know, I know Asians get upset. Like my Asian friend always is like, rugs are Oriental. I'm Asian, you know.
Rugs and furniture.
Is that what the whole argument was?
I think that's part. Well, I don't think it was just that. Like, I think he said like some super crazy racist stuff to this guy. He they got in an argument.
He said he was bringing it back.
Like
He was talking about the chink in the guy's armor. That's what he was talking about.
Oh,
he
wasn't, man. God. So you've seen. Wow. So you've seen the detour. Incidentally, Juan, that show is amazing and hilarious. Yep. That's a common word. It's a common colloquialism. It's a space in the armor. It's called a chink. What's that supposed to mean? Oh, it's amazing.
Like, what was it, Jay and Silent Bob? The Porch Monkeys. We're taking it back.
So anyway, he got fired from the BBC. So Amazon picked up their show
a long time ago.
Slightly different. It's called The Grand Tour.
The first
season was phenomenal. Yeah. I love their show because it's like this great combination of like really, really funny situations, watching super, super fucking amazing cars drive around in circles. And then like the crazy places that they go to like drive like across the Sahara in like a VW bug or something like that. Like I love the show. So I was super excited to see that Amazon release a trailer for the second season and has finally announced that the release date for Grand Tour is December 8th of this year. So very, very excited about that. And then on top of it, this last week, Gran Turismo Sport came out. So I got to sit down and pound through like 8 hours of fucking race car driving. And that makes me super excited. Like of all the video game franchises, literally with the exception of Final Fantasy, the only one that I have bought into more or the most is Gran Turismo. Like I love race car games. I'm super excited for a video game.
Race car games.
Dude, That was the hardest fucking game ever made.
Oh, dude, I'm so like, so this is what's exciting. Something that I've always wanted to be able to do is to compete against other people playing Gran Turismo. And it's not like, I don't mean like sit down with my friend and you guys are like fucking around ramming each other in like a 2-player battle while driving like, you know, a $700,000 car around a track, but like, the way Gran Turismo works now in like kind of the new mode of video gaming is that there is a campaign mode and you can like open up all the different tracks and race all the different tracks. But whereas before you played like a season, like within the campaign and like, you know, kind of singularly against AI computers, you now literally have daily races. And like today is the first trials for like the international like Gran Turismo championships. So like at 8 o'clock tonight, like thousands and thousands of people are going to get onto their PlayStations and they are going to race each other from like all over the world. Like I've already raced people from like Germany, Brazil, Italy, and it's a blast. And in spite of the fact that like the best placement I've gotten in one of those races is third, like it's still a shitload of fun.
Yeah.
I don't like race games or actual race games.
Yeah. Gabe, I do. You're a nerd.
I know. I love it. I get like this is not an exaggeration. Yesterday, I sat down with my imaginary Audi TTS and I fucked around with the gear ratios so that I could have a higher like power band going from third to fourth to fifth gear. Like I fucking love racing simulation games.
I like racing games where it's like in a city and shit. I don't like racing like games
Need for
where
Speed
I'm doing
and stuff
track.
Like that. Yeah.
When Gran Turismo and shit first came out and my brother was like, yeah, I've got to do this circle track 800 times. I was like, fuck you. That's fucking retarded. I'm out. Like, that's boring.
No, I love it, man.
Dude, here's the thing about the Gran Turismo video game. You can play that goddamn thing for days straight, weeks at a time, and still get nowhere.
So this is one thing that they've actually kind of alleviated in the new game. So I bought it pre-release, like I had pre-ordered it. So it came with a couple of packets of cars. So I came out with like a little bit of extra money and some packets of cars. But even when I first logged on, before I downloaded like those like 15, 16 cars, you start out with a stable of 5 cars in like various grades, including like the lowest like high end grade. So you start out with like a very, very fast car. And then when it comes to the daily races, if you are going to a race that's like a one make race, like yesterday, you know, talking about the Audi TT, yesterday was an Audi TT race. If you don't own one of those in your garage, they provide you with a stock version of it so that you can still play the race. And that goes through like all of the different like car grade levels. Like if there is a car specific to a race, like they provide you with it so that anybody can enjoy any of the races that are on during the day. So like I thought that was pretty cool. So
with the power of the night.
Oh man, with that we should take a quick break.
Yeah, with this segment's an hour and 30 minutes.
Nice.
Did you watch Thor?
No, I haven't watched Thor.
We'll talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking amazing.
Yeah. the two people, Jane and James, Jane's sister is Margaret from the Crest. We were sitting with them at the Crest last night because we went to watch Victoria and Abdul, which incidentally is a really, really nice movie. I enjoyed it. It's really just kind of sweet and cute and funny. So speaking of CGI, at the very end, he has to go on a steamer back to India. And I was like, wow, that instantaneously took me out of this movie because that steamer is the most CGI ship of all time. But
I feel like you were going somewhere Thor-y with this story.
Oh, no, but fucking... no. So what I was saying, talking with Jane and James, they had just seen Thor earlier that day and they could not stop talking about how awesome it was. So
best Marvel movie out.
Yeah, that is exactly fucking what they said.
Hilarious. It has the serious moments in it, but it's fucking great.
There was something they had mentioned that the director directed something else that I fucking love, and I can't remember what it was.
The director is the voice of Korg in it, and fucking Korg has the best, like, he's stupid, and he has the best, like, one, and he's very direct, almost like Drax was, but I don't know, it's great. We'll talk about it next time, though, because hopefully you'll have seen it in 2 weeks.
Let me look up this director, because
there Waititi, isn't it? Something Waititi?
Yeah, it was something about something else he directed.
So it was directed by Butthead or Beavis? Titi from me bunghole. How do you pronounce this? Taka.
I have no
Watiti?
Idea. Yeah, something like that.
Damn. I mean, he does sound like a Beavis and Butthead skit. Taka Watiti.
He directed Green Lantern.
Nicaragua.
Oh, it's what we do in shadows. So I don't know if you guys have seen that, but no. It's like a ridiculous vampire movie that's fucking hilarious. But, he directed, basically he said it's like this cool, funny, and he said it to me that it's like this cool, funny Marvel movie that looks like a live action version of the heavy metal cartoon. I was like, cool, sold.
It's good.
Because I fucking love those.
It's good for sure.
Nice. Well, let's take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk about do we want to just come back to talk about our pop culture classic critters? All right.
We got, there's always other shit we could talk about, but then this show will take 7 hours. Yeah. So.
Awesome. So let's make the fart noise. John, why don't you make the fart noise? Nice.
Here's a few reasons why you should be listening to the Unwritable Rant podcast with host Juliette Miranda. She can tell a great story.
If you can't play dead, play drunk. And it works, I swear.
She interviews celebrities that have great stories.
If we have a cousin that's kind of strange, we don't put him away or tuck him away. We set him on an old dryer out in the front yard with alcohol and let him wave at people.
Right. And then you tell your friends about it.
And she's tolerant and loves kids.
So these kids go running up after the ball, and I stand up and I yell, "Kids die in the street all the time."
So head on over to theunwritablerant.com and listen to the show.
Of all the planets in the galaxy, they chose ours. They hide in small places.
This phone is dead.
What?
They light the dark.
Jay, any luck?
Just a minute.
There's nothing cute about them. They've come a long way, and they're hungry. Critters, they bite.
Are we talking about making the porn version of it already?
Yes.
Vivid Clit. Entertainment presents Clit.
Clit. You know, that is another thing about the movie I didn't like, was they didn't really explore the origins of Pennywise very much.
Or like any of the kids.
Any. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like that's why I think the next movie is going to have more of an interspersion of adults and kids in it. Are we recording already?
Yeah, we're recording. Okay. Yeah, we're back.
And we're back. All right, so let's get started on this episode's pop culture classic.
Yay!
Picked out by Juan. Ta-da!
Yay!
1986 gave us Critters. Directed by Stephen Herrick.
Oh, they just heard the trailer, by the way, before we do all this shit.
Nice. Starring Dee Wallace, M. Emmett Walsh, Billy Zane, Terrence Mann, and what was that one guy's name that was in something Graves?
Scott Grimes.
Scott Grimes, that was it. Sorry.
Rick Grimes.
Of course, featuring the dulcet tones of Terrence Mann singing, "Power of the Night."
Nice.
Yeah. So when I pulled this up, it was listed as a comedy, science fiction, horror, supernatural thriller. And I feel like like that is the most accurate description of this movie of all time. So we've watched two really, really strange movies over the last two episodes that I don't think either of them could get made in today's, like, filmmaking society.
You don't think Critters could get made?
No.
Why?
No way. Dude. In hell.
Okay.
Why?
Take out all the science fiction parts of it and it can get made. Or take out all the funny parts of it and it maybe could get made. But, like, the weird, like, this is funny and supposed to be scary, but kind of like a send off to like other like science fiction movie tropes, and just everything about it is so, let's smush as much shit together as possible and call it a movie, that I don't think this movie could get made nowadays either. Like, it is fucking weird. Movie. But it's not just a monster movie.
It's a space movie. It's an aliens movie.
I mean, it's not really a space movie, though.
Dude, the first 10 minutes of it
that's it.
Takes place in... No. They're on an asteroid. There's fucking spaceships.
The sequels are space movies, but I feel like this is more...
No, this is a ridiculous alien horror movie, but... Oh man, this movie. Okay, first of all, let's say this. I'm probably going to say a lot of like mean spirited shit talking sounding things about this movie, but the overall
that's my feeling.
Arch of this movie, it's fucking amazing. Like, it is so ridiculously stupid that it is like perfect and good. Like, I loved this movie. Like, it has to be 20 years since I've seen this movie.
It's been a long fucking time.
It is fucking hilarious and weird. And
I feel like if you could turn this into a horror movie, if it were to be made now, you know, the only part that was in space was fucking at the beginning of the movie, really. It's just them breaking out of prison and then coming to Earth. I mean, they're flying around in spaceships
and there's the space bounty hunters. Like,
yeah. But they were on the Earth. I mean, they were flying to the Earth.
This is a science fiction movie. Like, disguised as a horror movie,
but it's not a space movie.
Disguised as a comedy, disguised as satire of other space science fiction movies. Like, this is...
I agree it's more a science fiction movie than it is a horror movie.
By a long shot.
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. But, cause it's not scary. They're fucking weird looking.
So the same youngsters that I was talking to last night, I told them, you know, when I get home...
The same youngsters? What are you, fucking like 100?
No, but they're like...
The ones he keeps in his basement, Juan.
Yeah, the ones I keep to Harvey out with.
Whoa,
that just means opening a bathrobe and jerking off to him. It's not that weird. But
oh my God, there's now a term for it.
I just Harvey Weinsteined all over the place. Anyway, so I'm just gonna go right past me saying that. So when I was talking to them, they're like, they had never heard of the movie. Okay. They had no idea what it was about. And they said, so, you know, what's it about? I was basically, it's like evil tribbles attack like a small farming community. That's basically what the movie is about. But they don't even like attack the community. They just attack the one family.
Right.
The intergalactic bounty hunters attack the community. Like, where are the crits at? I'm gonna shoot fucking everything.
The crites, bro. The crites.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, here's what really pissed me off. Why does everybody in fucking Grover's Bend, Kansas have a horrible, horrible southern accent?
I thought this took place in the South until the guy riding his bike has the spaceship fly over him. And I see the sign shaking back and forth that says Kansas. And I had the immediate same thought. Why do all those people in Kansas have Southern accents? Like, that's ridiculous.
Don Keith, by the way. That's his name.
And like, and the best part about it is like, there's so many things that I wondered. Were they intentional? Were they just like hilarious shit that happened? The director was like, fuck it, cut and keep it. Like when the boyfriend first met the dad and the dad points to his car and the boyfriend reaches up and grabs his finger to shake it.
Yes, I loved that. Like,
it's like, was that on purpose or was that a flub? The director was like, yeah, keep that shit. That was great.
Because it's like the most emasculating thing you've ever seen. Like, oh man. So the other thing I loved is that the boyfriend is the one that's like, no, 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 we shouldn't have sex. Like, we shouldn't make out. Like, your dad's going to catch us. I'm going to get in trouble. He does. My favorite line. He doesn't even like me eating his food. Like, and the girlfriend's like, nah, they don't come out here. Do me now. Like, what a,
do me now.
Like, what a crazy, like, for the 80s, it's like such a flip flop on like the normal, like, gender role in that situation. I thought that was funny. Like, there's so much. when the house comes back together and the cat's randomly in the mailbox, like just so many dumb, funny things. Who are you?
There's a good amount of people in this movie who choose up E.T. went forward to
Billy Zane, isn't it?
Billy Zane, M. Emmett Walsh, D. Wallace, fucking Scott Grimes. Like, there's a lot of famous people in this movie.
Terrence Mann is famous because he was on Days of Our Lives for like ever. Like, there's a lot of, and like, what's great is Terrence Mann is like the guy that sings Power of the Night. Like, he actually sang it.
Oh,
and that's amazing.
You can go to YouTube right now and look up Johnny Steele, Power of the Night, and it is fucking there, the entire video.
Power of the Night!
It is fucking there. I'm downloading it, and I'm putting it into my rotation right now.
I should make it the ringtone on my phone. That would be amazing. Nobody would know what it was from.
Not gonna lie, I liked the sequels better. I don't know why, because they were fucking cheesier than this first one.
So, I Critters. Don't remember the sequels at all, except for in the second one, they form the giant ball of critters. And I was waiting for that this entire movie because that's like such a vivid memory from when I was a kid.
This one, you get the giant.
You get the big critter. Yeah, so, when I didn't see that, I was like, ah, oh, god damn it. Now I gotta watch the second one.
The second one is the Easter one. And then from then that on Easter out, it because it happens at Easter.
Weird holiday to have a movie on.
But the subsequent ones focus only on Charlie, the bounty hunter. And so you don't get anybody else from the other ones. It's just him. Those are actual space movies. But I love Charlie. Like, he's my favorite part of, and he's the only one that I can't remember going on to do anything in the future, or you know, from that movie. But he's like my favorite part of all of these movies because he's funny. He's a drunk guy. It's hilarious to me.
Here's how it works. All right, I remember Critter 1 and Critters 2. Upon researching this, Critters 3. Stars Leonardo DiCaprio. No fucking shit.
It does not.
Yeah, not
he's the little kid in the movie.
Oh, holy fuck. Yeah. That's amazing.
Critters 4, Angela Bassett. Kidding you.
So what you're trying to tell me is that if I wanted to be famous in the 90s, I needed to be in a Critters movie. Yeah.
It was the jumping board for stardom, apparently.
So what Critters reminded me of is another great kind of like science fiction-y horror movie that I think we should definitely talk about at some point. But it reminded me of Tremors much.
Yes.
Like this idea of these people trapped in their house being attacked by monsters. Uh-huh. They don't really have control over it. Like, and I'm pretty sure Tremors came out after Critters. Like,
I believe it did. Yeah.
And it's just, I really enjoy that kind of movie where they have to be inventive and like figure out how to defeat them. Like in this, they don't really have to figure it out. The space bounty hunters just come and blow their fucking house up. Like, and then the kid who's like,
job's done,
fucking making dynamite in his bedroom. That's awesome. Oh man, it's one of those things where it's so quintessentially an 80s movie that it's kind of perfect. Like, well,
at the beginning, the guy who hires the bounty hunters goes on a rampage about them making a mess of the last time he hired them, and that's when the bounty hunters are like, "You're off." They just
phone
go out.
Off.
Stop talking.
The thing about Tremors, real quick, is that every kid who ever played that game, The Floor is Lava, you know, that you it's like they,
yeah, you understand how Tremors works.
Tremors
because
works.
You played Floor is Lava.
I can't wait for that to come back with Kevin Bacon in it all.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That excites me.
Oh, it's totally real. Yeah.
Oh, that.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'll watch the shit out of that. Like, I love Tremors. So, I think I've seen every Tremors movie.
There was an article that came out with an interview after that with Kevin Bacon because everybody asked him, you know, why didn't you do the sequel? And he's like, I didn't want to do a sequel to a movie that didn't fucking do well and didn't make any money. What kind of fucking sense would that make? But now that it's like a cult thing, he wants to jump, you know, supposedly it was his one role that he's like, I wish I would have done a sequel to it. It just didn't make sense at the time.
Nice.
Right. Let's do an analogy real quick. So Back to the Future is to Bill and Ted's what Gremlins is to Critters.
Yeah, they went to, I think they, so I was reading a thing that was saying that the guys who made Critters after they'd written it and everything, actually went back to rewrite it to take out some of the elements that they thought were Gremlin-like, because there was a big comparison and a big, like, this is just a ripoff of Gremlins and blah, blah, blah.
And, like, so, they – I'm going to pull up my IMDb, but that's one of the trivia points, is that they – it was kind of made as a response to movies like that. And as a mm-hmm. consequence, it was so similar to Gremlins that they kind of felt like they had – gone too far, right, like on the satire side, and we're like, oh fuck, we got to change some things so that we're not just ripping them off.
Can we all agree that the best scene in the entire movie was the bounty hunter changing shape into Johnny Steele as Johnny Steele was playing in the background? That was a phenomenal
like
scene.
A montage, dude, sequence.
The fucking yeah. the fucking felt face melt regrowth thing.
Yes.
I know for a fact when I was like in fourth or fifth grade, that scene would have scared the shit out of me for some reason I was terrified of bloody skulls. Like, but as an adult, that is the coolest shit. Like, it was so much fun to watch that.
As I was rewatching it, it reminded me of Hellraiser, the first Hellraiser.
Yeah.
When you get the fucking, you know, the body that's just all fucking muscles and shit. Like, it reminded me of that scene. It was pretty – I liked it. I enjoyed it. I don't think I saw these movies when I was little, but I could be wrong. I don't remember.
So this was one of those movies, like – on UPN, they would do this thing where they would play, like, you know, the same movie series, like, all day on Sunday. So Critters was, like, one of those movies, and Chud was one of those movies, and Tremors was one of those movies where they would play.
I forgot about
Chud. Yeah, where they would play, like, Chud 1 through 4. So, like, at 9 o'clock House. In the morning, you got the good movie. And by the time you were like over Kool-Aided and had too many chips and you'd been yep. sitting in front of the TV for 8 hours, you were like, why the fuck did I watch the fourth one? You know, like it was, it's one of those things like, so in the '80s, like you had all those great, like slasher movies coming out, like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween and stuff like that. So like every studio wanted to like nail down something like that. So I feel like as a consequence, we got these really ridiculously hilarious sequels to super, super shitty movies like Pumpkinhead and Leprechaun and Critters and Chud. And it's just, it's such a hilarious phenomenon that just does not happen anymore. And it kind of bums me out because those are funny.
Critters is odd because for some reason, I will admit this, last night I watched Critters 4 just because, you know, for shits and giggles, because I was expecting it to be horrible.
I'm telling you, I like the sequels more than I do the original.
It's a weird phenomenon. This is one series where the sequels just kept getting better and better and better. And there's actually a fifth one called Critters Bounty Hunter. And I look forward to watching it.
Oh, it's not out yet? Or
No. It's way been out.
Think it was a fan-made one. I don't think that was a studio production one.
Oh, okay. I have no idea. But Critters 4 was excellent. And it stars not only Angela Bassett, but the guy who plays Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. I don't know his name, but I know I see his face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was actually really, really good. And I mean, I guess when you have like nowhere to go but up, it's it's not hard to do. But I don't know, man.
I feel like this is like, for as ridiculously insane as this movie is, like it's way better than I remember it being. Like going back and watching it again, like I was kind of not excited to watch it. You know, I was like, ah, man, I've seen so many of these like shitty, like sci-fi horror movies. Like, I don't know that I'm like super, super excited to watch this, but watching it, I was like, holy shit, this is like a really fun, like just crazy ass movie. Like, why have I not watched this again? Like recently,
what's not to like? Dumbass. Horrible Southern accent farmer in Kansas, slutty daughter, the mom from E.T. Yeah, I mean, what's not to like, right?
Also, my favorite thing in the world in this movie is every time they shoot one of the critters and it fucking just explodes. Like, it cracks. Like, it eats dynamite and just does the cartoon, like, poof. And, like, smoke comes out of him and he dies.
He
like,
passes out.
But if you shoot it with a shotgun, that shit will blow up. Like, that, like, I like when the mom points the shotgun out the door, shoots the one, and it's just like exploded in the hallway. And she's like, I got one. And they do like the close up of like pile of hair and like green blood on the wall. And it's just so stupid and hilarious. Like,
this copper based blood, like Vulcans.
This is definitely
none of the critters ever look the same once you go into the future ones. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Very this weird
is,
movie.
This is definitely a It's So Bad It's Good movie. Like,
yes.
Where it's like turn the corner of this is ridiculous to this is fucking awesome. I need to watch all the rest of these now. Especially if you guys are saying the sequels are better.
Yeah,
like,
I think they're better for sure.
That's interesting.
Hey, dude, 4 was awesome. You got to watch it.
I will. And, like, I plan on it.
The thing that bothered me also, and I could not get over this, was that for a farmer, the dad had the cleanest overalls I have ever seen. He had dirty
and
gloves.
The dirtiest
dirty
hands.
Hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dirty hands, dirty hat, but his overalls were fucking spectacular.
It's like, why in the world did you dip your hand in oil?
Buddy, he had a good housewife.
I do.
She raised Drew Barrymore. What more do you want? Right?
I do like the little nod to E.T., like where the critter's poking at him. Who are you? Who are you? I'm just going to tear you apart. I love like all the scenes of them just like destroying like pillows and couches and shit. Like, to what end? Who knows? Like,
I just love that the critters. I love that the critters knew the word fuck.
Yes. They have weapons. Of course they have weapons. Like, what sentient race doesn't have fucking weapons? You have weapons. It's your mouth.
Oh, they also shoot spikes that tranquilize.
That's also a hilarious scene when the mom gets shot in the back and just kind of like goes down. And then she's in the bedroom all, I'm so tired.
That's how I have to get sugar tits to go down.
Oh, so, you know. He Harvey Weinsteined her.
Weinstein.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, man.
That's fucked up.
So this movie gets a solid fucking thumbs up. Like, this movie's awesome.
Definitely.
I don't care what anybody says.
I give it 2 thumbs up. I really enjoyed rewatching it. I really did. And I agree with you. I was like, this is going to be shitty. I remember these movies being shitty. And the whole time I watched it, I was dying laughing.
Yeah.
Just a little thing.
So I think the problem is when I was a kid, I thought like every horror movie was supposed to be scary, like, and was supposed to be something that made me feel like uncomfortable or made me jump or whatever. Like, when I was a kid, if something said horror on the box at the video store, I was expecting it to be scary. And this movie isn't meant to be scary. It's meant to be funny. It's meant to be ridiculous. And I just didn't get that when I was a kid. So when I was a kid, I thought this movie sucked because it wasn't scary. But as an adult, like, I understand that it's basically like this nuanced joke. Like, the whole thing is just meant to be so ridiculous that it's awesome. Like, and as that goes, it's super successful. Like, it's a really good movie. It's just funny and corny. Like, it plays on like all those tropes, like the crazy guy that can hear radio waves in his feelings, and like the put upon, like, you know, hick sheriff, and like the town of like grumpy people. You know, the scene where they're all the women are in the church. And he goes, tonight we're going to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And the lady in the front row giggles like, like, it's genius. And that's got to be one of those moments where they're like, nah, keep it. Like, that's good stuff.
Cause, hilarious.
Because what church do you go to? We're going to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Butt sex, you know.
Well, I mean, but seriously, did all the ignorant rednecks move to Kansas? I don't understand.
Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, that's.
I don't know. You tell me where your people went.
I mean, we do not migrate north. It does not happen that way. We hate that shit. Any place that has snow, we don't want to go. So I mean that bothered me the entire damn time. I'm like, we're in Kansas, but everybody's got that fake Southern accent where they say shit like Paul. Nobody says Paul. We don't. That's a bit anachronistic. We don't say shit like Paul. This is not Little House on the Prairie.
We say pop.
Yeah, no, we don't say pop. We say Coke. We don't. Seriously, we don't say the word pop or soda down here in the South. It doesn't matter if it's a Pepsi or a Mountain Dew or whatever. It's a Coke down here.
It's funny.
Yeah. So yeah, but the Southern accents are horribly contrived. In
it's
that movie.
Hilarious.
Oh God. Dual thumbs up. Dual thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'd watch it again. I'd tell bitches to watch it again.
I think our fans should watch it. If you listen to this show. This is the type of movie that you should go watch, because if you think this is funny, you're going to think that's funny. And if you take this show seriously, you're going to think that's a very serious film.
It's fucking Chinatown, man. I think if you like a fine ass young Angela Bassett, you need to watch Critters 4. Just saying.
Nice. So we're going to embrace our power of the night and hold off on letting you guys know what the next pop culture classic is, because it is Doyle's turn to pick a pop culture classic. As a Patreon supporter, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/TOTLB. And there's one more producer spot left, so that if you are to donate at that level, you, like Doyle, will be able to pick our pop culture classic once a quarter, which would end up being basically between you and Doyle, every other episode somebody would pick for us. So if you want to force us to watch terrible movies, or you think that we're watching way too shitty of movies and you want to watch good movies along with us, be sure to donate at that level and help us pick. But we will announce a little bit later this week what our next pop culture classic is, as that is in
it doesn't get better than Critters.
When it comes to this show, it probably doesn't get better than Critters. So you sound different all of a sudden. It's so weird.
I'm trying to do the Southern accent they do in the movie.
It don't get no better than Critters, Paw.
That's what I'm saying. It has to be based in a Southern town, because first of all, they called the motherfuckers Critters. That's a Southern thing. They wouldn't be called Critters in Kansas.
What would they be called in Kansas?
I don't know. They don't say shit like Critters up there. They call them little furry things, or I don't know. I mean,
what the fuck is wrong with those squirrels?
Right. I mean, you got to be in a Southern redneck town for these little damn things to be called Critters.
Right? I like how he keeps saying up there, and Kansas isn't really like up there. It's just
compared to where he's from, it's way the fuck up there.
I mean, you know, it's pretty up there. Let's see. How does it? It's like parallel to where you guys are, isn't it? I'm not big on geography.
Y'all, if it's north of the Mason-Dixon line, I have no fucking clue where it's at.
That's all I'm saying. Shit.
Shit, Paul.
It's north of the Mason-Dixon line. It don't need to be anywhere. I mean, Kansas is right next to you guys, right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this takes place in our neck of the woods. We would call it a critter.
Would you?
Yeah.
Do you use words like critters often?
I mean, I don't really encounter a whole hell of a lot of critters. So.
What about cooter? Have you ever encountered a cooter?
The only cooter I know is Rye Cooter.
Well, I mean, down here, cooter is another word for a vagina. So
yeah, I figured.
Yeah. It's also some sort of animal that's like similar to a weasel. Those are called cooters. I mean, seriously though, that's why everybody has that horrible Southern accent, is because you have to have that to say the word critter. You can't say the word critter without a Southern accent thrown in.
I think we usually just say what things are called.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, there's a raccoon.
Look at all those fucking squirrels over there.
Yeah, it would be a whole different movie if it was called Whatchamacallit.
Hey, what the fuck are those things? We should make a movie called "Hey, What the Fuck Are Those Things?" It's just a remake of Critters, but it takes place in like Massachusetts.
Isn't New Line who made this movie?
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, do they even exist anymore?
I think so.
Here's what you do: you set it in like redneck middle of nowhere Georgia, and then everybody's got a horrible Yankee accent.
Everybody speaks normally.
Everybody's Bostonian for some reason, you know?
or like straight Jersey, like
what? Yeah, what are those things? I don't know. What are they?
What the fuck do we call them?
Let's call them who's a what's it's.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That would be more apropos. Yeah.
Oh man. This movie's great, though. I can't get over how much I enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that thumbs up for me too.
So I feel like you're looking at reviews right now, Juan. What's going on with that?
So those are for later, I remember to read those motherfuckers.
So
break again.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I actually have an old man pick this week, and then we'll get into reading some of our iTunes reviews, which we have.
2015, yeah, all the way to now,
which we have put off for several years, which is like a ridiculous statement. So we'll be back in just a little bit, and yeah.
Hey everybody, it's Clyde from the Old Still Radio Show, and this is why you need to listen to us. Number one, we may not be the biggest podcast out there.
I like being the underdog.
But we are one of the best.
It's magic. Yeah. It really is.
Secondly, we have a southern charm, and we tend to make a lot of sense.
I mean, he can't molest anybody when he's dead.
Right. And I hate to tell you people, we're pretty fucking funny.
Is that hilarious?
Yeah. But let's not forget about our most important part, the weather girl.
Never talked about the weather. You're the weather girl. Nope.
That's sugar tits for those who don't know.
It's not hilarious. Welcome. That's going to get you cut.
So if you haven't gotten a feel for it, this is what the show is like, and we invite you guys to come out and check us out. We are the Old Still Radio Show with number two, Preach, Clyde, and Sugar Tits. Find us at www.oldstillradioshow.com or on Facebook at Old Still Radio Show, or on Twitter at Old Still Radio. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. So, y'all come on out and check out the Old Still Radio Show. We guarantee you're going to have a good time.
So, what?
Fucking
stab. Oh, man.
I'll stab you right in the fucking eyes.
My Canadian buddies call it hand egg.
Hand egg? Because it's definitely not football. I saw this amazing meme today that was like, it said, when life's just not fair. And it had the captain of the American, the male soccer team, and then the captain of the female soccer team. And he's like very sad, and she has a giant smile on her face, and it has their chest circled, and on hers it has the FIFA World Cup badge, and on his it doesn't. And that made me laugh really hard.
Yeah, for the second World Cup, the American
United
boys
States is not in.
Didn't even qualify. Fucking morons.
They couldn't beat Trinidad and Tobago that have like a freaking team pool of like 20 guys. Like
they couldn't beat the Highland High School fucking
they
soccer team.
They probably could not. The women, though, are fucking amazing. Oh, yeah. Their team is ridiculous.
Side note, we're recording.
Oh, okay. And we're back.
We've been back for about a minute.
Oh, okay. So. Juan was threatening to kill me because I pretended like I didn't know who the Denver Broncos were.
He's a fucking idiot. I hate him.
Dude, I just don't watch football. It's just not interesting to me.
Unless you put monsters or vampires in it,
so Blood Bowl used to be one of my favorite games of all time, which is literally like orcs, dwarves, and trolls playing football against each other. So much fun. Anyway,
maybe I'd give a shit about hockey if they did that.
Oh, see, I like hockey, and there's a very specific reason why. We have a farm team for man, I don't remember who they're a farm team for, but they play in Loveland, which is like 20 minutes away from us, and we can get tickets for like nothing, like $5-$10, stuff like that. And, you know, one time we got gifted some tickets and we took Hannah, who's my youngest, to go watch the Eagles, the Colorado Eagles play. And she had so much fun that we go to like 8 or 9 like Eagles games a year now. And as a consequence, I just really like watching hockey because like I invested in a team and I have fun going to watch them play live. Like if I could go to the Broncos like a couple times a year, I would probably go and I would probably enjoy it, but I can't, there's no way I can afford tickets to go see the Broncos.
High in the stadium is probably like $50.
They're see, and that's what I'm saying. Like I'm not going to pay $50 to go watch a sports team that I'm not really invested in. I'll pay $10 to go see a sports team I'm not really invested in. And as a consequence, become invested in them because I can go like 2 or 3 times a year. You know, like it's just, I enjoy seeing things live. That's why we go to Rockies games all the time. Like I love baseball and we can go watch a Rockies game for like $15. Baseball's awesome. Baseball's a nerd sport.
I'm out on baseball.
Baseball is boring as shit.
So is hockey. It's the same shit.
Yeah.
So is hockey. Fucking 2 goals. So is soccer sometimes.
There's only 2 end zones, you fuckface. Like, it's the same thing.
I'm talking the amount of goals that are scored.
Oh. Dude, the only reason the score of football games is like 27 to 30, whatever, is because you score 6 points for getting a touchdown.
But it's more exciting. It's nothing happens during hockey. You skate around for a little bit. Maybe somebody gets into a fight every once in a while.
That's the difference between Eagles hockey and like NHL hockey is nobody gets into a fight every once in a while. It's like a fucking moving brawl. Like there are 3 or 4 fights like every fucking game.
The only time I'll watch them is playoff time. I'll watch baseball during the World Series because it's always fun.
Yeah.
It's always exciting. But baseball too is just fucking...
Yeah. Side note, congratulations Houston Astros on your first ever World Series win. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
I love baseball. I grew up with baseball.
Who were they playing against?
Los Angeles Dodgers.
So somebody posted a meme this morning and said, congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers for not having to go to the White House.
Really, they are the winners. Oh, man.
That is
I was hoping to get through one episode without like talking shit about the president, but it's not going to happen because that guy's a fucking retard. Like, God.
Like, oh, that was funny.
That's the only hate mail my show has ever gotten is people get fucking furious because we talk about Trump all the time too, you know, and that
how can you not, like, it's all the news ever talks about,
but
and he's like a fucking pop culture icon. Like he's been in movies and TV and fucking everything forever, and now he's the quote-unquote leader of the free world, and
Gabe,
he's like sticking his dick into like everything ridiculous, like
Gabe, you mispronounced that. It's called douchebag.
President, fuck yourself.
I'm pretty sure everybody who has listened to us for any amount of time, though, knows that we don't like him, and we are pretty we're pretty liberal show. So, I mean,
That's my fault.
We don't get any kind of hate mail, but mostly because we embrace it. I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
I would love hate mail. That would be rad. I can't.
Dude.
Please send us your hate mail.
Man. Yeah.
Outside the long box at gmail.com. I'll read it on air and tell you why you're stupid. Like
I've gotten hate mail, and this was the best part. I think y'all saw the post on this. It was a female a listener who called me a vagina hat. I mean, how impressive is that?
Oh, that's
female
awesome.
Calling me a vagina hat, and I was like, no, for me it's more of a face mask.
Oh, but, nice. Okay, so I always have like a favorite little tidbit of Trump news that I like to tell all of my friends, you know, from week to week, which is hard to do from week to week because there's usually about 15 fucking ridiculous things that he did. But my favorite thing is he went to Hawaii this week on his way to Asia, because he's doing all these things with Japan and South Korea and stuff this week. And at the airport, there were people holding up signs. There were two that were phenomenal. One said, "Not my Cheeto." And the other one said, "Welcome to Kenya, Mr. President." It's such a genius level troll. I like that. I was like, oh, that's a good. Finger. That's a good.
Finger for sure.
Oh, man. For 11 troll. Beautiful moments, he didn't have a goddamn Twitter account this week.
That is what I was about to bring up. That is my unsung hero of the millennium.
American hero.
Oh, hey, guy. Fuck yeah. I mean, that guy.
Hey, guy, he that didn't deleted give a Trump's fuck. Twitter account.
He did not give a flying fuck. He was like, I am out the door of Twitter. He was apparently a disgruntled employee, but, you know, who gives a fuck? But it was his last day. He was like, you know what? Fuck you, Trump. And walked out the door.
Fuck you.
I mean, what are they going to do?
Cool.
It's not a crime or anything. Like, what are they going to do?
It's brilliant. I wish Twitter would have said, oh, it's been deactivated. Sorry.
We can't bring it back.
It's broken now. I don't know what to do.
Here's the problem with that, though. Then we can't go back in time and be like, oh, remember that time he said that thing that totally goes against what he just fucking said.
Covivi. Yeah, no, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Donald Trump, you know, on YouTube earlier was a fucking Democrat. I mean, he was all Democratic, Democratic Party, Democrat this, but, you know, now he's a Republican. It's just amazing how that happens.
He's genuinely the worst thing that's happened to this country since probably pre-civil rights
since
America.
Critters?
No, fuck that. Kidding. Critters was amazing. You know what's better than our president? Critters. You know who I wish was our president? The critter that says fuck after his
Johnny
friend
Steel?
Gets shot. Yeah. You know what? That's what Trump needs to do. He needs to embrace the power of the night. Awesome. Oh man.
Oh, that's funny.
That is so about to be my ringtone.
I know,
is.
Me
You're
too.
Right.
It's gotta happen.
Right.
Just to annoy the shit out of my wife.
I just downloaded it from YouTube. I'll email it to you.
Juan, I gotta give you this. That was an amazing pop culture classic pick. I know I like poo-poo on your taste fairly regularly.
That's all right.
This was a great pick. I'm really glad you picked it. It's fucking awesome.
It's been a long time since I've watched that movie.
You took a shot in the dark and it hit the nail on the head.
But by the time you watched it, it was already 20 years old. So.
Yeah. Maybe. No. When did it come out?
86.
Oh, so I was -1 when it came out.
Yeah. So yeah, you were like 15 when you watched this. It had been out for like 17 years. All right. My old man pick. Earlier this week, I was talking with my friend Rob Walker, who does Victorian Cutout Theater on YouTube. I highly recommend you go check it out. They're very, very funny little sketch comedy cartoons that he does by taking Victorian era illustration, cutting them up and animating them. And they are fucking hilarious. like about, you know, cures for exorcisms and tuberculosis and just, it's a fucking hilarious show. Absolutely worth watching.
Do we have a cure for the whooping cough that guy had in the movie?
I don't think so. But anyway, it's
clowns.
Super, super funny show. He invited us to him and his sister's Halloween party. And we went this year and we were just kind of talking. He also is on the board of something called the Go West Film Festival here in Greeley. It's something that the Crest does every year, and it's basically a week-long film series from like Sunday to Saturday, starting tomorrow, November 6th. They're showing movies like Shane and, you know, man, I forget which spaghetti western they're playing, but they always throw in kind of like a 90s western-esque movie or like early, you know, 2000s Western X movie. Like they've done Django.
The movie you're about to talk about is definitely a Western.
Yeah, it is. It is. they're, you know, they've done like Django Unchained and things like that. Right. So there's always like kind of like an alternative, like indie film Western that they're doing. So as we're talking about it, I tell Rob that I'm really excited to see this movie. I'll get to what it's called here in a second. And he tells me, oh man, the guy that was introing it had to back out. He had an emergency. Would you like to intro the movie and do the discussion afterwards. And I got super excited because on Monday I will be introing Desperado, which is Robert Rodriguez's sequel to El Mariachi.
Sequel reboot.
Yeah, sequel remake.
Gabe, why don't you come to your senses? Come down from your fences,
Gabe. Oh, shut the fuck up.
Desperado.
Hey, we're not singing that song today. Today
power
we are
of
singing
the night,
Power of the Night. That is what we're singing today. We can sing Desperado next time. Fuck you guys. Anyway, so when I was a kid, and I've talked about this probably a few times on the show, I was obsessed with watching Siskel and Ebert. I would take their reviews to heart, and then I would force my dad to take me to see movies that they recommended or movies that, you know, were out on video. I would make him rent. And one of the movies that I remember them talking specifically about was Roger Ebert was obsessed with El Mariachi because it got made for like $5,000, which is like an insanely small budget for a movie.
Because it was made in Mexico. Well, that's like $5 million.
No, five million pesos. It's like $50,000, but still
$4.5 million.
$5,000, I'm pretty sure, is like 50 grand in Mexico, in like pesos.
So 5,000 pesos would be about $500. So if you did 50,000 American dollars, I think it would be about
He made it for 5,000 American dollars, which means he made it for like 50,000 pesos, which still is, even in 50,000 American dollars, is like a crazy low budget movie.
I was
like
listening to the newest
Kevin
Smodcast.
Smith could make three movies with that.
I was listening to the newest Smodcast, speaking of Kevin Smith, and they made the sizzle reel to Comic Book Men. So not even the fucking pilot. It's a sizzle reel that they show to execs to see if they can even make the show for 10 grand.
Yeah, so like it's ridiculous. Like he made a 90-minute movie for $5,000. I forced my dad to like rent it on VHS for me, and I loved it. Like it's a cool movie. If you haven't seen El Mariachi, it's totally worth watching. Like it's just a weird, low budget like Mexican action movie.
It's all in Spanish, so you have to read it.
Yeah, you do have to read it. But
wasn't Antonio Banderas in it?
No, he is not. He wasn't. It's a totally different actor.
So that's why I call Desperado the remake, the kind of reboot, because it's exactly the same plot. It's just updated.
It's very Evil Dead 2, yeah. Where like it's the same movie but different. So where parts of it are sequely, parts of it are rebooting, right. Like, and it's a little confusing. But going forward in time, Desperado's coming out. I hear it's the sequel to El Mariachi. It's directed by Robert Rodriguez. He has like a full like Hollywood budget. You know, there's famous people in it like Antonio Banderas and Salma Hayek and stuff like that. And so I was so super excited to watch this movie. And I told my dad, like, I really want to go see this. Let's go. And it's one of the best movie going experiences I've ever had. Like from the moment when he starts playing the guitar in the bar, he's playing rockin' music. He beats a dude up. He beats a dude up and he gets the chick all in the first like 2 minutes of the movie. And then he wakes up and it's like a dream sequence. And then the rest of the movie is just him like blowing shit up and kicking ass and fighting Danny Trejo. And there's like machine guns and guitar cases and it's fucking awesome. And like to this day, it is like one of the best like balls to the wall 90s indie action movies I've ever seen. And layered on top of that, that awesome, like, I can relate to the music and the people that are in it because I recognize them as my family. Like, I mean, obviously, I don't have an uncle that has a guitar case full of guns, but like,
are you sure?
Not really. Like, you never know. I do have some gangster ass cousins. So like, but recognizing like the faces and like the kind of people that are in the movie was really, really cool. Like it was one of those moments that was very, oh, my culture that I thought was kind of lame at the time because, you know, who wants to listen to like, you know, Mexican polka music?
Me.
When I know you do, but when I was a kid, I was when I was a kid, I was like, I want to listen to Metallica and Anthrax and Slayer and stuff. So that kind of music never clicked with me until I saw that movie. Wait. And I was like, oh, that's actually really fucking cool. It has a place like, oh no, yeah. It's a very eye opening experience for me. I love this movie to death. And I'm so excited to intro it. I'm going to just keep interrupting you.
Your evil twin brother that I found was brought up on gun charges. I'm just saying.
That's funny.
That is funny. I have had so many people bring that up in the last like few months that guy is just me hiding out in a prison somewhere. But there's no.
What? Why do I hear tap dancing, balloon blowing midgets in the background?
So Juan's been blowing up balloons for the last like 15 minutes for his son and daughter's birthday party. The tap dancing is something going on upstairs.
It's probably my 2-year-old daughter wearing my 30-year-old wife's high heels, is what I'm guessing.
Nice.
My 2-year-old daughter is already into fucking shoes, so.
Uh oh. This could be
a
problem.
Don't lie. They're your high heels, Juan.
If I can't walk in fucking high heels, I'll tell you that much.
I can.
I can't. It's. I don't even know if I can get my fat foot in a high heel.
Well, no, you just got to buy high heels that fit you. I mean, I don't own high heels. No, so going back to Desperado, Antonio Banderas in this movie, it's like one of his first like kind of major roles. And it's actually one of the first roles where he's not speaking English phonetically. And it really shows, like, it improves like his acting skill. Quentin Tarantino's like, you know, kind of cameo role in it is really fun. And it like definitely solidified like that co-mingling of like universes and styles between like Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. Seeing Danny.
I'm going to interrupt you. So you've got to, speaking of the cameo, you have to watch the movie. You cannot watch this movie on TV because that cameo is boiled down to like a minute thing.
And it's not interesting. Right. And it has none of the swears.
I rewatched this movie like a month ago. We talked about it and I don't remember, like I had never seen the actual theatrical movie, you know?
Oh.
So the part with him was way fucking longer than I remember it ever
and
being.
And way funnier.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're going to watch, I recommend watching the movie for sure. You need to watch the theatrical version though.
This is also one of like the first times Danny Trejo is like in a movie, like as like kind of a prominent character. And like his story is amazing. Like if you don't know that, like he was a straight up like prison
his
inmate.
Life story.
Yeah, like his personal life story. He was like a straight up prison inmate that took acting classes in prison, then got out of prison, moved back to Los Angeles where, you know, he was living at the time, and like just started auditioning for jobs. And like, obviously nobody's going to give a giant Mexican with like a Mexican like cholo lady tattooed on his chest like a chance to be in the movie until you get something like this. And now you see like Danny Trejo is like a thing.
Machete.
Like, he was just in fucking The Flash.
Exactly.
He had a giant part in the newest Flash episode.
And he's been in like, what is that old man movie called? He was in Badass. He was in, is that what it's called?
Is he a super villain? Cause I'm going to guess at which one he is.
No, he's actually a good guy. He's Breacher. So he's Cisco's girlfriend's dad.
Nice.
Aww, like, that's such a waste.
It's amazing because he doesn't like Cisco at all. So the whole episode is them fucking him hunting Cisco like it's some sort of fucking game or something. It's fucking funny.
But he's like, he also goes on to like do really good things for the community, and he owns like businesses in Los Angeles. He's a really cool guy.
Every single one of his restaurants that I visited have been in not the nicest parts of town.
Right.
And it's because of that. He's trying to uplift kind of those areas. But when you're going to him, you really are like, where am I? Like, what's going
this is
on
sketchy
here?
As fuck.
Yeah. But the taco place was okay. You know, it wasn't the great. It was like a ritzy taco place that I don't like.
That's weird.
But
yeah.
The donut place was fucking phenomenal. His donuts are amazing for
and
sure.
It's just, it's cool. Like, it's cool to see that this was kind of like a springboard for like a lot of people. Like, Salma Hayek became like a huge, huge star.
Wait, pause.
Unbelievably hot in this movie.
Pause. Selma Hayek.
Right? The scene in Desperado when she's sitting on the bed, just playing the guitar, singing the song, like, I felt myself become a man watching that scene. Like, I was like, oh, yeah.
Literally.
He got, like, literally. He got a little drippy.
I was like, I got to go to the bathroom.
Like, I felt myself over that scene too, Gabe. Don't worry.
It moved. Like, it's just everything about it, like, really spoke to me in a lot of really cool ways. So it's awesome to now have the opportunity as an adult to, like, maybe introduce some people to this movie and, like, share my experience with it as they're watching it. So that's my old man pick. Like, Desperado is a fucking phenomenal movie. If you haven't seen it,
what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? And B, like, I mean, I guarantee you could find this on VHS for 50 cents. Like, you can own this movie for, like, a quarter
for
right
the
now.
Newest, for the new millennials, you can probably find this on fucking Amazon for, like, a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. You could probably buy it on Amazon for a dollar on, like, special on hyper edition Blu-ray. Yeah. Like, this movie's so good and absolutely worth watching.
You heard it here first, folks. Gabe wants you to feel yourself in the same room as him.
That's not the first time they've heard that.
I know.
They hear that, like, at least once an episode. Feel yourself.
It's the power of the night.
Yes, I was just about to do it. Oh, you read my mind, man. That was amazing. Oh, shit. Ever.
So
I just emailed you that song, by the way.
Oh, nice.
So I just told I told Clyde John Still from the Radio Time Show Hour yesterday that he needed an old man pick. So I don't know if he has one.
Oh yeah, I totally do. It's my balls. Seriously, my old man pick is actually there's so many, but it was actually something we already brought up because we already talked about Stranger Things two season two. And I want to talk about Trapper Keeper. So we actually already spoke about it.
Nice. Your old man pick is literally Trapper Keepers, and that's Trapper amazing.
Keepers. Trapper Keepers. Because, see, Juan, back in the 80s, we had these little folders that kept all of our schoolwork and all of our paper. Nowadays, we just call them binders.
Now I know you're lying because you didn't fucking do any schoolwork.
Well, that's true. It is a one room for all 12 grades down here, but you know how that goes. Nowadays we call them 3-ring binders, but these things were so much better than 3-ring binders because they had these amazing designs all over them and a little flap that folded over and Velcroed the other side. Now keep in mind, Velcro was a new technology at this point.
In the long ago.
Yeah, in the long, long ago. But no, seriously, when we watched Stranger Things, like, Trapper Keepers were just something that we forgot about. I mean, you know, when is the last time? Where the fuck did Stranger Things get Trapper Keepers anyway? But no, seriously, Sugar Tits and I literally both sat up and went, Trapper Keepers!
That's awesome.
Because, I mean, we loved our Trapper Keepers. Those were, like, the cool thing to have. Gabe, you had one, right?
Yeah, I distinctly remember every year I would try to go out and find a black and red Trapper Keeper. Like, I didn't want any designs on it. I just wanted it to be black and red.
Because he was punk.
Yeah.
You know how he is. I was
super obsessed with that. And every year I would find one, and my mom would be like, don't you want this one with, like, the bulldog on it? I'm like, or don't you want this green one? Why do you always buy the black ones? I'm like, I want it to be evil looking. Come on. Like, oh, man.
No wonder the fucking bullies picked on you.
I was super, super picky about my Trapper Keeper. I remember even there was even a moment where, man, I want to say it was like in sixth or seventh grade where we got our list and it said, you know, we needed a 3-ring binder. And then in parentheses, it said not a Trapper Keeper. And I was like, no, I want a Trapper Keeper this year. Like, what the fuck?
You went to the most evil school ever. They bullied you. They denied you Trapper Keepers. Dude, where the fuck did you go to school?
Private school, man. I went to Jesus in school. It was awful.
Our Lady of the Iron Underwear?
Our Lady of the Perpetual Fisting.
Wow.
Our Lady of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell what the priest did to you and back. Yeah.
Our Lady of Show Me on the Doll Where I Touched You.
I'm glad we were too poor for private school.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was private school is apparently where all the asshole bullies are. I didn't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, bunch of rich white kids that don't like you. It's awesome. Can't express you how rad it was.
Hold on. Juan, were you old enough to ever have used the word rad?
Unironically.
No. Yeah.
I use it now. But no. No. Dude.
I still say it and people look at me so weird. I was like, oh, that's rad. And they're like, nobody says that anymore.
Back in the 80s, there were these movies.
In the 90s, they used to say off the chain a lot.
Oh, yeah. That everybody still uses that one, though. But see, in the 80s, they had these movies about BMX bikes. And these movies about BMX bikes, specifically BMX bikes, not Schwinn, fuck that bullshit, BMX. And they forced upon our culture the use of the word rad.
I'm surprised still remember in the 80s. Weren't you like 50 still?
Yeah, I mean, I was in my early 40s at that point. No, but the word rad was, you know, was forced upon us and it had its moment. I think it ran for what, Gabe, about 4 or 5 years and then went away.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember saying rad and like
yesterday,
bodacious and like all of those
radical.
Like, yeah. All of that stuff because of Bill and Ted. Like I remember watching Bill and Ted and then trying to talk like them for the rest of my life. So,
totally.
Mission accomplished, by the way.
Keanu Reeves still does it.
Oh, yeah.
But I know.
I just broke him.
totally true. But seriously though, how much would you love a new Bill and Ted's movie?
Oh, I'm waiting for it. They keep talking about it.
They keep talking about it, but Carlin's gone. It's too late. Carlin's gone.
They got to go find the other guy out of obscurity.
Well, it can't be that hard to find him. Like,
buddy, he might be in like a fucking box house or some shit.
So, they could lift him up again. Be like, hey,
do you think they went to his house and like he's got Wild Stallion posters all over his wall?
They're like, hey, how are you doing, Alec? You mean Bill S. Preston Esquire?
Esquire, yeah. He's got like this whole shrine to the Bill and Ted's because it's the only thing he ever did, and like it's like past the point of being like
it's
proud.
Like, it's past just, creepy it's now, and just
yeah,
sad.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's scary. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
That is. I really want them to make another one of those. And they could just have Louis C.K. play the Carlin character.
Oh, that would be perfect.
That would be perfect.
Oh. I hate Louis C.K.
You're an idiot. He is so funny.
Yeah. Fun note. Universal Studios every Halloween does a Bill and Ted's show.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys knew this.
I did not know that.
And it's a comedy show that is hilarious and risque and has a bunch of sexy dancers, and we just went to it, and apparently I was very sad because it's the only one I ever have seen or went to, and it was the last one. Apparently
then why Bill are you telling us about it?
Well, you can go look up the past ones and I guess see, I don't know if you can see them, but they're really awesome, and it was hilarious. But
it was apparently great. You'll never have a chance to watch it.
Never see it. You will never ever see it. But no, I mean, it was a very sad moment for me. I was like,
I am better than you. Right. I've seen it. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no, seriously. Do you know how nana nana boo boo I would have been if I'd been called up for Hollywood Babylon? And I was planning to literally yell out, you know, nana nana fucking boo boo to Thinking Outside the Long Box if they had called me up. That was gonna happen.
Oh, I can't stop coughing.
They're coming. Hollywood Babylon's coming to Denver, I think, this end of the year. He always does his one man show in December. Always, like for the past 3 years or 4 years now, he's always come at the end of the year. And so Gabe's over here dying.
Man, I don't know.
Should we end the show?
Well, let's we're winding down. I'm gonna read these that I've been talking about for years. I'm gonna try and skip the ones that I know we've read. Adrian King on December 29th, 2015. When it comes to podcasts with multiple hosts, chemistry is everything. The guys at TOTLB have this in abundance. The audio quality is great, and they are a riot to listen to. Do yourselves a favor and hit that subscribe button with the quickness, I think is what the fuck that says.
Hit that. That's what they mean. Hit that.
Hit that with the quickness. That's like my sex life.
Hit that podcast.
Marty on March 26, 2016.
Oh, so very recently.
The guys are hilarious and they cover a wide range of topics, which I find interesting. 5-star. All these are 5-star. We don't have anything below a 5-star right now, which is amazing.
That is amazing.
Daryl 1234 on June 8th, 2016. Fun and entertaining pod. This is how I sell comics should have been.
Ooh, wow.
That's a good one.
Thanks.
Groovy Batman on September 28th, 2016. Keep up the good work, guys. I've enjoyed all the podcasts so far. I'd like to go see you guys live at some points. That'd be cool.
We've done 2 live shows.
Yeah. A&E, so this is Adam.
with strippers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we have.
Adam Workman on May 7th, 2017. Or March 7th, I'm sorry. So we're getting closer. Juan, John, and Gabe are an entertaining trio. Each one brings a unique perspective to this podcast. I like how Juan is laid back, Gabe is animated, and how John is the grounded yet comedic relief for the show. We're not funny, apparently.
No, we're funny.
They're getting to that, Juan.
Joe V114, October 18th, 2017, so not too long ago.
Yeah, that was just a couple days ago.
Talking about everything in the world of comics, movies, and TV, and having a lot of fun doing it. The rapport of the hosts is great and a lot of fun to listen along. Subscribe.
Subscribe now.
Flying Gamer Punch, October 19th, 2017.
That is an amazing screen name. Flying Gamer Punch. So,
it's like hanging out with friends. They like what I like. You won't be disappointed.
That's sweet.
There's a really good chance I don't like what you like. That everybody else is on the show likes what you like, and I'm like, nah, fuck that. It's awful.
Dr. Plasterpod on October 19th, 2017. Fun show, fun listen. Check them out for sure. And then the last one is from Lex Max 75, October 23rd, 2017. I have never really been into comics. I have never gone into a comic book store, but listening to this podcast made me feel like I was just hanging out with the guys. I really like the conversational style of this podcast.
Nice. Go into a comic book store. There's lots of great things in there for you to read and enjoy. And if you like any of like the movies and TV shows that we talk about, like there's a really good chance that it has a basis in a comic book at some point. So, I don't know.
Nice. 5-star reviews all around.
Nice.
I like it.
Well, that kind of segues almost perfectly into the end of the show. One of the best things that you can do to help our show out is to go onto iTunes or Stitcher, which I know, sorry, fuck Stitcher, Clyde, but like go onto iTunes or Stitcher or whatever that you download your podcasts on. Give us a review on that platform, preferably a good one. Like even if you want to give us 5 stars and then talk shit about it in the comments, like I'm perfectly comfortable with that. So, but we will get to reading your reviews in a much more timely manner than we have been. We're working towards that. You can also support our show by going to amazon.totlb.com. When you do that, it takes you to a regular Amazon search page, but anything that you buy off of Amazon at that point gives you a little bit of a boost. John Blackshire, it's amazon.totlb.com, not totlb.amazon.com. Jonathan Blackshire, for the record, amazon.totlb.com. Just saying, I love you.
Side note, and I've said it before, but his fucking feedback segments are fucking amazing.
They are
amazing. So fucking funny.
He does a podcast, and I don't think he's ever plugged
the Lamp Show.
Okay, and also
the Lamp Show guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, he is amazing. I love that.
He's also a really talented musician, super cool guy. Like, go listen to his show. Like, definitely worth listening to shit that he does.
So I've told the story before, but the first time when we were just starting to put our phone number out there, 970-573-6148.
Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline.
May he rest in peace. I didn't realize what it did, but it tries to transcribe the voicemail into a text message. And so he sent a voicemail, and without listening to it, I just read it first. He's asking for help on how to do the podcast and you know, what goes where and shit. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? I didn't understand until I listened to it, and it was satire, and there was fucking computers burning in the background, and it was insane, and it was amazing. I've fallen in love with it ever since then.
Nice. So, yes.
Dude, his one where he went to the wrong Denver. Are you fucking kidding me?
The next ones are good. There's a cult one that you're going to listen to. It's fucking amazing.
That's awesome. So, Jonathan, Amazon.totlb.com, just so you know. I don't say it wrong. I say it right every time.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if he's saying it wrong or not. I don't think I'm saying it wrong.
Anyway, the other way you can support us is by going to patreon.com/totlb. From there, you can sign up. The easiest way for me to understand it is like NPR. Like, if you like what you're listening to, you can help support it by giving us as little as $1 a month to receive some extra content. I recently went through some crazy stuff, and Juan's had some crazy stuff going, so we're a little bit behind on the videos, but they're going to be coming up very shortly. We do special videos for all of our Patreon supporters, as well as like t-shirts and stickers, hats, all that sort of thing. And then you also have the opportunity to participate in the show. If you listen to the show, you will notice that people that support our show end up being on the show fairly regularly. And if you support us,
except for Tim, somehow he's always on the show and he doesn't support it.
Well, yeah, Tim's just special. Like, you know what I mean.
He's going to move away. That's not good.
Yeah, I hate it, but it's for a lady. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah,
he ended up here for a lady.
I hate you, Ashton. I'm just kidding. Hey, I've never met you before.
Stop talking shit about my son.
Wait. Yes. Can I say this live on the air? Tim, she's way too hot for you.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And she's going to tell me to hush, but I just want to get it out
there. She's way too female for her.
She went through his two butthole period. I mean, it seems like they like each other.
Wait, he gets his period in his butthole?
Yes. Yes, he does. Through his second butthole, though.
She seems really cool. I've never met her. I don't know anything about her, but she seems really cool.
I was supposed
to
meet her for the first time this weekend, but they ditched us.
But they bailed out. Fuckers.
Let's think about this. Be in a room having sex or hang out with Gabe?
Hang out with Gabe. I'm the most important. But
and who's to say they can't be in a room having sex while sex they're hanging with Gabe. Out?
Exactly. I'm not saying I'm against that.
I just need to be in the room.
All he wants you to do is feel yourself while he's there.
It moved Tim.
I don't know if Tim listens regularly.
Yeah, he does. Okay. he walks around on his postal route, so he has a ton of time to listen to podcasts. So,
I will make sure he hears this.
So anyway, be sure to go to patreon.com/TOTLB and kick us a few bucks. Like, we'd love to have you participate with us. We love talking about you guys. With that, we want to give a special thank you to Doyle, Derek, Steve, and Ryan.
Man,
I always pause because I'm like, shit, is it Brian or Ryan? Like every single time, but it's Ryan. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting
us. John tells us he's a big fan of the show. So, and that's the thing. I personally have only met him once.
Right.
So, we appreciate it. It's something. I've, you know, a lot of the time those Patreon supporters come from friends who are like, I listen to you guys. You guys are cool. You know, we hang out, blah, blah, blah. So Ryan is like, to me, he's like the outlier to that. Like, I don't know him. And it's amazing that he would help somebody who he doesn't really know either, is my guess.
Just because he enjoys the show. That's cool. I like it. It's awesome, but we appreciate all your support on Patreon.
Steve is the newest. Just wanted to, I,
I know you keep mentioning, but I wanna be sure we mention that he's the newest. Like,
and
he just
and Steve is literally my best friend.
Right.
Like, seriously, one of the coolest human beings I know. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You have let me sleep on your couch and you still are supporting the show. So thank you very much. But we really appreciate all of the support that we get, whether it be iTunes reviews, right. Stitcher reviews, support on Patreon, or Facebook. Buying things through Amazon. Yeah. You can go to Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, or you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at @outsidelongbox, and you can always shoot us an email, outsidethelongbox@gmail.com.
Oh, speaking of, God, this is the second I wanted to read. Go ahead. Keep going. Okay. I want to read Adam's, he sent me something a while ago.
And you just keep forgetting to read it. You can also call us at 970-573-6148. Leave us a message. Tell us anything about the show, whether it be like the amazing satire that John is doing, or if you have an opinion, you watch Critters with us and you're like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? That's the worst movie I've ever seen. It was so bad that I literally shot my television with a gun. Like, please give us a call. Let us know, you know, any opinions that you have on the show. We'd love to hear it. Except for that, you, Clyde. You're not allowed to call the hotline.
That must be one of those rednecks from Kansas.
Yeah. This movie's terrible. It's full of critters, Pa.
970-573-6148.
Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. May he rest in peace.
So Adam sent in, this was from Aliens, and I mentioned reading it. I was going to read it, and then I didn't read it, so I felt like an asshole.
It's like
so
two episodes ago.
Yeah, I want to read it now. I'm thrilled that you picked Aliens as a pop culture classic, one of my all-time favorites. There are too many great lines to miss in this film. A great line in that movie is when the colonial marines, are being briefed by Lieutenant Gorman on the Sulaco. Sulaco? Is that how you say that? The ship's name? Hudson asks if this is going to be a stand-up fight or another bug hunt. When Gorman states that a xenomorph is involved, Vasquez says that all she needs to know is where they are, and she points her fingers like a gun. The Marines have a laugh, and Hudson says the line, "Somebody said aliens, and she thought it meant illegal aliens," and signed up. Vasquez flips him the bird and tells him, "Fuck you, man." What's cool about this line is that it's true. Goldstein auditioned for the role first thinking it was about alien immigrants. Check, and then he sent out a link to kind of go through that. But it's really cool. I like him. Adam is the only one that like sends me real emails to shit. He's like, I think you guys would dig this. He sent me an email about Scott Bakula talking about how him and Belisario talking about how the script for the remake to Quantum Leap or to the movie is written, but they don't know what's going to happen with it.
Right.
Just recently, that happened at New York Comic Con. So I like that. If I'm cool with people sending, I love emails. You know, if you can send me a cool thing we haven't talked about or something that came up that you just want us to talk about, it's there.
Exactly. And that was the next thing I was going to say. If you're ever interested in hearing us talk about something or you want to hear our opinion on something, please hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter or Instagram. We love to hear from you guys. We love interacting with everybody. And like, the reality is if you're sending us super interesting stuff, you're eventually going to end up on the show. We're going to say, hey, you should just come on with us, because that's why Clyde's here. That's why Tim ends up here. That's why Doyle ends up on the show. It's why all these different people come on the show. We interview them one time and then they end up just hanging out with us.
I also feel myself in front of Gabe.
So, real quick, before we go, we've had a very, very special guest with us this entire episode. Clyde, tell everybody how...
Very special. He's wearing a helmet right now.
Just to protect that soft, soft skull of his.
Clyde, tell us... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, tell us where we can find you besides in front of Pa's Pick and Mart.
Look, just
drinking a bottle of moonshine with a... corn cob pipe in your mouth.
I find it very offensive, side note, that these other podcasters know who the fuck you are, and we, who talk to you a lot, don't know who you are.
Who knows who I am?
It sounded like you hang out with the Morning Neurosis girl every once in a while.
Oh, I wish. No, she has no idea.
He wishes.
No. Side note, Juliet Miranda. No, she has no clue what my real name is. She only knows me as Old Still. As John Clyde Still, just like you fuckers do. But I
thought I saw you guys were hanging out or getting together or something.
No, we were going to try to meet up. She came down to Nolens And that's still a 14-hour drive from me. So, as much as I would like to have gone down there and hung out with them.
Gone down there is right.
Yeah. Ooh, you know, all she had to do was feel herself in front of me, Gabe.
Oh, wow. I think she has a husband, and here we are talking. Yeah, but, it's weird. Dude,
he just wants to Harvey Weinstein it.
Dude, he is awesome, so don't even worry about it. And, in fact, he would be dying right now.
Is that Dave, is that Dave the producer, by the way?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Dave the producer is her husband, and if you've heard her show, you will know that he has to put up with a lot of shit from her. So... you know, it's so funny that their podcast, she jokingly says, would you guys please stop asking him if he's okay and to blink if he needs help?
I do my best because we're on Twitter. So two things on Twitter. We're, you know, we use the hashtag Potter and Family. That's generally how, we help each other as podcasts. We retweet, we listen, blah, blah, blah. We're now in a group of 50 people who it's just dedicated to retweeting. Everybody puts up their thing and then you retweet it, which Old Still Radio Clyde Time Show is not a part of. Ha ha.
Well, then.
But
it's because we're those Yankee elites, you know.
But I've done a better job of trying to listen when there's downtime at work and I'm sending out emails and shit. I'll just put it in the background, and I've started to listen to Miranda's show.
There's some really good shows out there that are part of both groups.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, thank you. Miranda's Unwritable Rant is what we're talking about, guys. Yeah. Unwritable Rant is a great show. I highly recommend it. I really enjoy her fucked up stories. They're awesome. Like the other day, I got to tell you the story. Being a Southern boy, she was talking about being drunk. She's a whiskey drinker, which makes me love her even more. And she's talking about going to a gas station and being drunk and looking for the bathroom. So she goes to the side of the gas station looking for the bathroom. And then she sees what she assumes are just white file cabinets out back behind the gas station in the little wooded area. And she's like, what the fuck are filing cabinets doing back here? And I'm dying laughing because I already understand what she's talking about. Do you guys understand what she's talking about?
No.
Fucking beehives.
Oh. Okay.
Fucking beehives. And her drunk ass walks over and tries to open the drawer.
Just bees everywhere, and they're sting crazy.
And she runs back to the front of the gas station, swatting like crazy, dying, you know, and then starts yelling at the gas station owner for his fucked up file cabinet.
That's amazing.
This is the shit her husband has to put up with. guys, you can find my show, which is the Old Still Radio Show. Don't listen to Gabe. Don't listen to Juan. In fact, I think I sent you a picture the other day, Juan, of you might get a cease and desist from, what was it?
It was
John's old time radio hour.
Yeah.
That was fucking hilarious. I came upon that podcast dying. But no, ladies and gentlemen, I am John Clyde Still, and you can find us at www.oldstillradioshow.com or every single podcast provider except for fucking Stitcher. I love Stitcher, but they won't fucking fix my feed on their product. I don't fucking know why. So you can get us up to episode 16
and then
Stitcher.
It's just that's it. Yeah,
that's
they're
all
like,
you
nah get. This show sucks, we can't have it up.
I'm starting to wonder. Yeah. Be careful because I might give your show the whooping cough too. But
he's
otherwise
spreading.
Guys, please come check out our show. We'd love to have you, and we would love to have the hate mail that you don't send to Gabe too.
I know.
Otherwise, guys, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I really enjoyed it. You guys rock, and I always enjoy coming on. Though I do miss the wonderful video of our lovely friend DJ Dana and her tits.
Oh, man. Dana's going to love that, for the record.
For the record, I've never seen Dana's tits, so I don't know what kind of video he's talking about.
I mean, she was wearing a very tight shirt.
Yeah, she was. I mean,
they were under boobs.
In fact, I think that was my favorite quote of myself the last time we recorded. It was like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You put your tits away.
Oh, man. So this just in, I got a message back from Doyle on Facebook.
This movie's horrible.
I was gonna make the noise, but thank you for making the noise. So this
power of the night.
The next episode, our pop culture classic, is going to be the John Carpenter classic, Big Trouble in Little China, which is one of the best movies I've ever seen, and I don't know why you hate it, Juan.
Pork Chop Express, baby!
Oh, man. This movie is going to be a great movie to talk about, so dig out your copy of
Two characters, not one, but two characters from Mortal Kombat.
Dig out your copy of Big Trouble in Little China. Watch it with us. Join us on episode 74 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. Talk with us about it. Find us at www.totlb.com, where you can find out any of the information that I just gave you over the last like 10 to 15 minutes of a show wrap up. And also be sure to check out John Clyde Still and the
radio show time hour.
The old Still time show radio hour extravaganza. Pork Chop Express.
And let's put out a challenge to all the nerds listening. We have said my real name 5 times this episode.
So
5 times.
5 shots, guys. I'll drink them later. I got to drive home. So anyway, with that said, this has been episode 73 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
And I am Gabe's favorite redneck, John Clyde Still.
And this has been another great episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Box, 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 box.
After I'm feeling myself in front of you right now, Gabe.
Feedback. Feed me. Feed me. Feedback. Feedback. Feedback.
Greetings from the Church of Universal Love and Lamps, formerly the Church of the Second Sandal of the Left Foot. This is Jonathan Blackshire, and I'm just pleased to give you this message of hope and wonderment. We've taken over production of The Lamp Show to spread our message of enlightenment through super comfy clothes like soft, flowy robes, squishy sandals, and flower crowns. I'm still an initiate in the group, so I can't get out much, but eventually they'll let me attend some of the Comic-Cons you all are going to, so I'm looking forward to it very much. In the meantime, we've started a prayer circle for Gabe, so his legs may not be so gimpy and his memory be not so flimsy. We're saying prayers for him every hour in hopes that he will achieve the transformation of supreme enlightenment of pop culture. I'm gonna have to go now. I've gotta get back to my duties. But check out The Lamp Show on Podomatic, Google Play, or iTunes. That's LAMMP. The second M, of course, is for meditation. Bright blessings, and let your lamp shine, everyone. Oh, hello, guys. This is Jonathan again from The Lamp Show. I wasn't sure if you got my message from last time, because I didn't hear it on your latest episode. So I just wanted to make sure that you were receiving the wonderful news about the new, group that I've joined. And I just wanted to make sure that, I'm just making a phone call. I'm just calling the Thinking Outside the
Line. They're going to trace your call.
No, it's okay. No, I've got Google on my phone, so.
I'm dead serious. You can't be calling.
No, I'm talking and thinking.
I'm just making a phone call.
Talk to me. Listen to me, okay?
All right, okay.
Right on the ground.
I'm recording a podcast, that's all.
Okay, yeah, we've heard about all kinds of weird stuff going on around here.
It's The Lamp Show. I'm just telling you it's The Lamp Show, that's all.
Stop
the I'm not
You got it right there to keep it.
Can I just go home? I don't live here.
Yeah, you're good.
You don't live here?
Oh, no. Yeah, if you don't live here, go.
I don't live here either.
Ugh.
thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.